ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदाम्बिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगण ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने.
नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवाणी पश्चात्पदेशतारिणे.
विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती दिनामिने. श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदाय कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्ध विज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः. माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्य श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तुते. नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धाभसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे. नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद्वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पादाम्बुजाय नमः. नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनो गौराय ते. गौराविर्भवभूमिस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रियाः वैष्णवस्सार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः. वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः. पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकं. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपिका कान्द राधाकान्द नमोऽस्तुते. जयदां सुरदौ भङ्गोर् मम मन्दमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वदां भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ. दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमन्नरत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ मन्राधाशीलगोविन्ददेवौ कृष्णालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि. श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भी वंशीवटतटस्थिता कृष्णवेणुस्वनिर्गोपेर् गोपीनाथाश्रयेस्तु नाहम्. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी. नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायदपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपाः. प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः. सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वल्स सुधीर भोक्ता दुग्धम गीतामृतम महत् वसुदेव सुतम देवम कंस चाणूरमर्दनम देवगी परमानंदम कृष्णम वंदे जगद्गुरुम भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथ जल गांधार नीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोर मकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलम गीतार्थ गंधोल्कणम नानाख्यानगेसरम हरिकथा संबोधना बोधितम लोकै सज्जन षल्पदैरहरह पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद् भारत मंगज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानंद माधवम् यं ब्रह्मा मरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्दियं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्दियं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरा सुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द So, when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and all others who came from Vrindavanam, when they were leaving Samanta Panchakam after the solar eclipse and 3 months stay there, Bhagavatam says, all those who came from Vrindavanam, they forgot to take one thing with them back. Called the mind. They left their mind at Samanta Panchakam. That because they have, the reason being, they have said to Krishna before, when the gopis met Krishna at Samanta Panchakam, they had this prayer to Krishna. Ahuschade nalina nabhapada aravindam योगीश्वरैः अभिविचिन्त्य मघातबोधैः संसारकूपपतितोत्तरणावलम्बम् यहं जुषामपि मनस् उदियाल् सदानाम् That was the prayer from the gopis to Krishna. So, because they said to Krishna in that way, the result also happened in the same way. When they left Samanta Panchakam and went back to Vrindavanam, none of them could take their mind away from Krishna because that was the request they had to Krishna. That verse, Ahuschade nalinanabha padaravindam yogishare abhivijinde makhada bodhai samsarakupam patitotaranavalambam geham jushamabhi manasudiyal sadana. The 49th verse in the 82nd chapter. That was the prayers. Then 82nd chapter, 49th verse. That was the prayer from gopis to Krishna. Right before that, Krishna has taught them about spiritual knowledge. You can see the right 48th verse. Adhyatma shikshaya gopya. Adhyatma shiksha. Adhyatma shiksha means instructions and the knowledge of the self from Krishna to the gopis. Adhyatma shikshaya gopya. Evam krishnena shikshida. Taught by Krishna in that way. Tadanusmaranadvasta jiva koshastha madhyagan. That these instructions they never forgot, that every moment gopis prayers to Krishna was that samsara kupa patito taranavalambam, which means that we are all, gopis are also saying that, that always in the material existence, isn't it, on the bodily identity, identification with the body, mind, in that way. So, everything which is not the self,
you are identifying with all the time. In identification with the body, we live in this world. So that is called samsara kupam. Samsara kupam means identification with the body, and due to that, the effects that comes from that means ragam, dvesham, krodham, bhayam, and kartratvam, boktratvam, all other things is due to identification with the body. So, Gopi's prayers were samsara kupa patidottaranavalambam. When we fall into that condition, you should come and lift us out from that. They're praying to Krishna like that. That you should come and lift us out of that bodily identity. Samsara kupa patidottaranavalambam geham jusha manasi abhi udiyal smadana. That this is the way they have prayed. Accordingly, Krishna responded that when they left Samanda Panchakam and went back to Vrindavanam, none of them could think about anything else except Krishna. Krishna was in their heart, all of them together, collectively. They experienced that. So, that's why they are saying there, they have forgotten only one thing, that was the mind. They forgot to take the mind with them. Mind was lost in Samanda Panchakam. Mind is one. It is a force that comes from the soul. So that force was withdrawn. Krishna has taken it away. You can see the control of the mind is the most important thing, isn't it? Get the mind under control, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, and in the Bhagavadam also. The same thing. Mano Nirodham, 10th canto, is called. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, mind is your friend or enemy and all these things, isn't it? So why does it say like that? Because to get this mind not to rise up again is a difficult thing, most difficult thing. And how would you know that the mind has come under control? That's an important question, isn't it? The way to find that out is, if you do not get that ahankaram back again, if the ahankaram don't pops up again, that means that mind has come under control. This is how it is done. Prithu Maharaj says to Sanat Kumara this thing. Sanat Kumara says to Prithu Maharaj, in the prayers you can see that. The indication is like this, whether the mind has come under control or not, is that that ahankara vritti, ahankaram, I am doing this, I am doing that, I have done this, I have done that. Everything based on that I. If that I has completely, if the mind has completely come under control, then this I will not pop up again. We are all the time we saying about, I did this, I did that, I've been there, I've spoken to him, he did this to me, I did this to him. In this way, we keep on everything centered around this ahankaram. Ahankaram is the pillar on which all other forces are operating. The false ego, ahankaram. So, if the mind has come under control, this ahankaram will not come back again. Ahankara vritti, it is called. So, if all the mind is completely stopped, it means ahankara vritti won't come back again. So, that's a important principle. So, so Gopi said to Krishna that we would like to see you in this way. What they're saying, that they remember the childhood days when Krishna spent at Vrindavanam with the gopis, and Krishna's lotus feet, the reddish color at the back of the feet, and that childishness, what Krishna has exhibited in Vrindavanam, all these things came back to their thoughts. So, and pray to Krishna that all the time when we have, if ever, because we are ordinary people in this world, we don't have the knowledge of the Shastram, and we don't have any thing credible in our to claim that we have Krishna consciousness. So gopis are saying to Krishna that all that what we have got is you, nothing else. And therefore, if you drop us, then we are finished. We don't have any more spiritual life, or we are completely finished. So, and therefore, in all times, ahuschade nalina nabha padaravindam. What kind of lotus feet is Krishna's? Yogeshwarer abhivijinde maghada bhodhai. Even great personalities and rishis, even in their greatest meditations, Abhivijinde Maghadamode, deep in their heart, these Yogeshwaras, they are absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And so that was their hope, that all circumstances, while we are living in Vrindavanam, even though we will be absorbed in our daily activities, after all they were ordinary people living their life in that world. And Yogeshwara samsara kuba paditor taranavalambam, there is a very possibility that we will fall into the material conditioned life. So, gopis never got an opportunity to express these feelings for Krishna before, like the way they did. By now, gopis have also become old. They're not young anymore. So, due to that age, advanced age, and gopis' feeling for Krishna, which they has not left them, they got the best opportunity to express to Krishna their ultimate thoughts about him. So, so in this way, in that Samanta Panchakam, in that holy place, all the great jnanis, yogis, devotees, and everybody together got an opportunity to assemble. And so, finally, at that moment, Devaki made a request to Krishna that, "I would like to see my 6 children." This is happening after 60, 70 years in life. "I would like to see my 6 children whom I lost when we were in the Kamsa's control." So, Krishna goes to Mahabali, into Sutalam. Krishna knew where they were, goes to Mahabali and tells him to bring them all. Mahabali said, "I don't know who they are." So Krishna says to them their names and where they are, who they are, everything, all kinds of information about them, and Mahabali bring them home. Mahabali brought them and this time Bhagavatam says Mahabali didn't make a mistake like before. Remember in the 8th canto when Krishna went and asked for the 3 feet, he made a mistake. "I will decide, don't ask me for 3 feet, I should ask more than that." This time he didn't make any such mistakes, he said. And Mahabali offered all respects to Krishna and brought the 6 children back. Smarad, Udgidan, Parishadvan, Padangan, Shuddher, Ghani. And Krishna told them their names. And Krishna says to Mahabali, "I have not come to discuss anything. I have come to take them back from here." And Mahabali celebrated Krishna's visit to Sudalam and brought them all together and brought them to Devaki Devi. And Krishna says to Devaki Devi, "The children you were asking for, whom Kamsa has killed, you can look at them now. There they are. Here they are," he said. So, they are all Krishna's elder brothers, aren't they? That's also there. So, when Devaki Devi looked at them, she felt that her children are with her. She got back all the memory when she was at that age when she lost the children, and took them all and put them on the lap. All the children on the lap. If you look at that 85th chapter, verse 33. Tadhami Tadhami kuridam kamam yuvam yogeshwarishwaro bhojaraja hadan putran kamaye drashtum ahrudan. That all that chitran, children were brought and brought them on the lap. And if you look at verse 53, Tan drishtva balagan devi. Devagi, after seeing the children, putra snehas nudastani, the milk started flowing from her breast. Parishad jvangam aropya murdhanya jigrada bhishnasha. That she felt such an affection for them and started smelling their heads. And parishad jvangam aropya murdhani. It was at that time that putra sneha stadasthani and started feeding them with the breast milk. Gada brada. That why did this happen? Krishna knew that if they drink that milk from the mother, it is more or like prasadam, isn't it? What Krishna has drunk before that milk, and it is the remnants of that. So naturally it is Krishna's prasadam. And when they drank that, whatever that was, that has actually purified their heart, and they were released from the cycle of birth and death once for all. Once for all, their life of cycle of birth and death was over. They came to this situation due to their offenses, what they have done before. And after drinking that milk, they were satisfied and they enjoyed that motherhood of Devaki Devi, and they paid their obeisances to Balaram and Krishna, and they left this world, go back to the spiritual world. So what is indicating to us is, no matter how much time goes away in life, and that mother's affection to the child, if it comes back to us in some form from many, many karmam that what we have performed in this world, which can create further birth and death, that cycle can continue. But the mother, the feeling, if you remember when we discussed this Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna's manifestation is in this world in its most pure form is the love of the mother. And one should not see that purely on a bodily level. It is Krishna's protection of every living entity, jiva, in this world. When we experience that mother's protection, actually it is Krishna's protection. But it manifests through mother's body. If that realization exists in a person, even in difficult circumstances, when we are caught up in this world, if you can remember that protection, what you received from Krishna through the mother, that will be a great relief for that person. That is important principle teaching there. That Krishna's protection to us in this world, particularly through the mother's body, normally the misunderstanding is that mother has protected me. And on a bodily level, the son or daughter feels gratitude to the mother for what they have done to the children in the early life, right? But that protection should be seen as Krishna's protection rather than the bodily protection offered by the mother. Because what makes a mother to feel for the child? That is Krishna. When a baby is born, who gives that feeling of necessity to protect the child, which manifests in the mother as a force operating through the mother? That is Krishna. That is the important principle here. And same thing here also, that Krishna's protective power, perfection of that, what you find in these things. So, and with various stories like this, Shuka Brahmarshi mentions there that all these stories related to Krishna. And finally he concludes that there, that the in that chapter, that Tam drishtva Sudava Swami says this. Ya idam anushranodi shravayedva murare charidam amrutakirte varnidam vyasaputraihi jagadabhi jagadabhidalam tal bhaktasalkarnapuram bhagavadi kritachitto yadiyal kshemadhama. So all these stories, what was spoken till now, if you look, evam vidhani albudani krishnasya paramatmana, Krishna's wonderful pastimes, viryani, they are unlimited, ananda viryasa sandhi anandani bharada. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit that Krishna's glories and Krishna's activities are unlimited. It cannot be spoken in a few days. Viryani ananda viryasya sandhi anandani bharada. What that indicating is that Shukha Brahmarshi sends that the time is coming to an end. So therefore he says to him, viryani ananda viryasya. Krishna's glories are unlimited and it cannot be spoken in a short period of time. Sandhi anandani bharada. It is unlimited. And then he puts a closes there. And then with that most of the pastimes are over. But then one or two things which came to his mind. He puts this in the next one chapter. And then there is the famous Shuddhigita, the personified prayers, Vedas personified. We'll read through those two chapters and then we'll look at the summary. Shri Shadashidi Tamodhyaya Om Namo Bhagavade Vasudevaya Shri Rajavacha Brahman Vedidomichama Saswaram Ramakrishnayo Yathobayeme Vijayo Yamamasil Pidamahi Shri Shukavaja Arjuna Stirtayatrayam Paryanan Navinim Prabhu Gada Prabhasamashran Nun Matuleim Samalpana Duryodhanaya Ramastam Dasyadidhi Nachapare Talipsu Nasayadir Bhutva Tridandi Dwaramagadal Dwaragamagad Tatravai Varshigan Malsana Valsil Swartha Sadhaka Pavre Sabajido Bhishnam Ramena Janadasyasa Ekadagrahamaniyam Adithena Nimandridam Shraddhayobhardam Vaikshyam Balena Bubujekilam. So Pashyattatra Mahadim Kanyam Veeramanoharam Pritulphullekshanastasyam Bhavatshubdham Manottade Sabidam Chakrame Veekshya Narinam Hrudayangamam Hasandi Vrididapangi Tanyastakhrudayekshanam Tam Param Samanudhyayam Nandaram Brapsar Arjuna Malebhe Sam Nadalebhe Shambhramachitta Kamena Adibeliyasam Mahatyam Devayatrayam Radastam Durganargadham Jahara Anumadapitro Krishnasya Jamaharatha Rathastho Dhanuradaya Shuram Sharundhado Bhadan Vidravya Kroshadam Swanam Subhagam Rigaradiva Tachrutvakshobido Rama Parvaniyo Maharnava Grihida Vada Krishnena Suhurbis Chanya Shamyada Prahinot Pari Barhani Varavadho Mudormada Mudabala Mahadhano Baskare Bharathashunara Yoshida Shri Shukavaja Krishna Syasil Dija Shrestha Shudha Deva Midi Shrudha Krishna Ega Bhakti Apurnartha Shandakka Viralambada Sa uvasa videheshu mithilayam grihashrami anihaya agadahairya nivartir nijakriyaha yatra amatram toharahar arhar deva adubanamanyut atyuda adhiyam davadatushta kriyaschakraya thojita tadha tadrashtabalonga bahulashamidhi shruda maithilo nirahammanam uvapipachyuda priyav tayo prasannu bhagwan darugena ahrudam kratham aruhya sagam munibhir videhan prayayav prabhu Narado Vamadevo Tri Krishna Ramo Sidoruni Aham Braspadi Kannu Maitrayas Chavanadaya Tatra Tatra Tamayandam Paura Jana Badanrava Uvadasa Sargyasta Grahai Suryami Voditam A Nartadhanya Kurujangala Kangamalsya Panjala Kundi Madhuke Gaya Kosalarna Anyejatan Mugasaroja Mudaraha Samsnik Deshanam Nurba Papur Drishibhirna Nairiya Tebhya Sovikshana Vinashtam Istradrubhya Shemam Dhrloga Guri Arthadrisham Jayachen Shrunvandi Gandhadavalam Swayasho Shubhagnam Gidam Surendu Piragachana Yeravidehan Te Chudam Praptamagarnya Pavirajana Badanruba Abhiyur Mudidastasme Grihidarkhana Banaya ദൃഷ്ടോകം പ്രീത്യുൽഫുല്ലാനാശയ കൈധൃതാഞ്ജലിഭിർനേമോ ശ്രുതപൂർവാംസ്തധാമുനീൻ സാനുഗ്രഹായ സംപ്രാപ്തം അന്വാനോദം ജഗദ്ഗുരും മൈഥിലശ്രുതദേവശ്ച പാദയോർപേതതു പ്രഭോ നിമന്ത്രയേതാം ദാശാർഹം ആദിത്യേന സഹ ദ്വിജൈ മൈഥിലശ്രുതദേവശ്ച യുഗവത് സംഹതാഞ്ജലി ഭഗവം സ്തവിപ്രേത്യ ദ്വയോപ്രേചകീർഷയ ഉഭയോരാവിശദ്ഗേഹം ഉഭാഭ്യാം തദലക്ഷിത ശ്രോതുമപ്യസദാം ദൂരാൻ ജനകസ്വഗൃഹാഗതാൻ ആനീതേഷ്വാസനാഗ്രേഷു സുഖാസീനാൻ മഹാമന പ്രവൃദ്ധഭക്തിയ ഉദ്ദർശ ഹൃദയാസ്രാവിലേക്ഷണ നത്വാതാംഗ്രീൻ പ്രക്ഷാല്യ തദപോ ലോകപാവനി സകുടുംബം മഹാൻമൂർധന പൂജയാൻ ചക്രമീശ്വരാൻ ഗന്ധമാല്യാംബരാകൽപ ധൂപദീപാർഘ്യഗോ വൃഷൈ വാചാമധുരയാ പീണൻ ഇതമാഹാന്നതർപ്പിതാൻ പാദാവംഗഗതോ വിഷ്ണു സംസ്പൃശൻ ശനകേർമുദ ശ്രീരാജോവാച ഭവാൻ ഹി സർവഭൂതാനാം ആത്മാ സാക്ഷി സുദൃഗ്വിവോ അതസ്നസ്ത്വത്പദാംബോജം സ്മരതാം ദർശനം ഗത സ്വവജസ്തദ്രതം കർത്തും അസ്മദ്ഗോചരോ ഭവാൻ യഥാധികാന്ത ഭക്താൻ മേ നാനന്ദ ശ്രീരജപ്രിയ കോനുവച്ചരണാംബോജം ഏവം വിധി സൃജേത് പുമാൻ നിഷ്കിഞ്ചനാനാം ശാന്താനാം മുനിനാം യസ്ത്വമാത്മനാം യോവധീര്യസിതൈർവംശേ യഥോ വംശേ നൃണാം സംസരദാമിഹ യശോ വിധേനേ തച്ഛാന്തേ ത്രൈലോക്യവൃജനാപഹം നമസ്തുഭ്യം ഭഗവതേ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗുണ്ടമേധസേ നാരായണായ ഹൃഷയേ സുശാന്തം തപയൂഷേ ദിനാനേകദിചിദ് ഭൂമൻ ഗൃഹാന്നോ ദിവസദ്വിജയ് സമേത പാദരജസ പുനീഹീതം നിമേകലം നിമേകുലം ഇത്യുപാമന്ത്രിതോരാജ്ഞ ഭഗവാം ലോകഭാവന ഉവാസകുർവൻ കല്യാണം മിഥിലാനരയോഷിതാം ശ്രുതദേവോചിതം പ്രാപ്തം സ്വഗൃഹാഞ്ജനകോ യഥാ നത്വാമീൻ സസംഹൃഷ്ടോ ധുന്വൻവാസോ നനർത്ഥ തൃണഭീരവശീഷേദ അനീതേഷുപവേശ്യ സ സ്വാഗതേനാഭിനന്ദ്യാഗ്രൻ സഭാര്യോ അവിനിജേ മുത തദംഭസ മഹാഭാഗ ആത്മാനം സഗൃഹാന്വയം സ്നാപയം ചക്രമുദ്ധർഷോ ലബ്ധസർവമനോരഥ ഫലാർഹണാശീരശിവാമൃതാംഭുവി മൃദാസുരഭ്യാ തുളസീകുശാംബുജൈ ആരാധയാമാസയതോപമനയ സപരയാ സത്വവിവർദ്ധനാന്തസ സതർക്കയാമാസ കുതോമ മാന്യഭൂൽ ഗൃഹാന്തകൂപയപദസ്യ സംഗമ യസർവതീർത്ഥാസ്പദപാദലേണുവി കൃഷ്ണേന ജാസ്യാത്മനീയതഭൂസുരൈ സുഭവിഷ്ടാൻ കൃതാദിത്യ ചുതദേവ ഉപസ്ഥിത സ്വഭാര്യസജനാപത്യ ഉവാച അംഘ്രിമഭിമർശന ശ്രുതദേവ ഉവാച നാദ്യനോ ദർശനം പ്രാപ്ത പരംപരമപൂരുഷ യർഹീദം ശക്തിവിസൃഷ്ട പ്രവിഷ്ടോ ആത്മസത്തയ യഥാശയാനപുരുഷോ മനസൈവാത്മമായേയ സൃഷ്ടാലോകം പരം സ്വാത്മം അനുവിശ്യാവഭാസതേ ശൃണുതാം ഗതതാം ശശ്വ അർച്ചതാം വാപി വന്ദതാം നൃണാം സംവദതാമന്ദർ ഹൃദിവാസ്യമല അമലാത്മനാം ഹൃദിസ്തോപ്യതി ദൂരസ്ഥ കർമ്മവിക്ഷിപ്തചേതസാം ആത്മശക്തിപരഗ്രാഹ്യോ അപ്യന്തിപേദ ഗുണാത്മനാം നമോസ്തുതേധ്യാത്മവിദാംബരാത്മനെ അനാത്മനേ സ്വാത്മവിഭക്തമത്യവേ സകാരണാകാരണലിംഗമീയൂഷേ സ്വമായ സംവൃതരുദ്ധദൃഷ്ടയേ സത്വം ശാദിസ്വൃത്യാന്ന കിം ദേവാകരവാമഹേ ഏതദന്തോദണാം ക്ലേശോ യദ്ഭവാനക്ഷിഗോചര ശ്രീശുകവാച തദുക്തമിത്യുപാകർണ്യ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രണതാർത്ഥിഹ ഗൃഹീത്വാ വാണിനാ പ്രാണി പ്രഹസംസ്തമുവാചഃ ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ബ്രഹ്മം സ്തേനുഗ്രഹാർത്ഥായ സംപ്രാപ്താൻ വിദ്യമുൻമുനീൻ സഞ്ചരന്തി മയാലോകാൻ പുനന്തപാദരേണുഭി ദേവാക്ഷേത്രാണി തീർത്ഥാനി ദർശനസ്പർശനാർച്ചനൈ ശനൈ പുനന്തികാലേന തദപ്യർഹത്തമേക്ഷയ ബ്രാഹ്മണോ ജന്മനാശ്രയാൻ സർവേഷാം പ്രാണിനാമിഹ തപസാ വിദ്യയാദുഷ്ട കിമുതൽ കൽക്കലയാകൃതം ന ബ്രാഹ്മണാൻമേദൈതം രൂപമേത ചതുർഭുജം സർവമേതമയോ വിപ്ര സർവദേവമയോ ഹ്യഹം ദുഷ്പ്രജ്ഞ അവിദിത്വൈവ അവജാനന്ദ്യസൂയവ ഗുരുമാം വിപ്രമാത്മാനം അർച്ചാദാ വിദ്യദൃഷ്ടയ ചരവചനമിതം വിശ്വം ഭാവായേജാസ്യ ഹേതവ മദ്രൂപാണീതി ചേതസ്യ ദത്തേ വിപ്രോമദീക്ഷയ തസ്മാൽ ബ്രഹ്മഋഷീനേതൻ ബ്രഹ്മന്മച്ഛമശ്രദ്ധയാർച്ചയ ഏവം ചേതർച്ചിതോന്യസ്മ്യദ അന്യഥാ ഭൂരിഭൂതിഭി ശ്രീശുഭവാച സ ഇത്തം പ്രവണാദിഷ്ട സഹകൃഷ്ണാന്ത്യജോത്തമാൻ ആരാധ്യൈകാത്മഭാവേന മൈഥിലശ്ചാപസൽഗതിം ഏവം സ്വഭക്തയോ രാജൻ ഭഗവാൻ ഭക്തഭക്തിമാൻ ഉഷിത്വാദിശ സന്മാർഗ പുനർദ്വാരവതീമഗാദ് ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമംസ്യം സംവിധായം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ശ്രുതദേവാനുഗ്രഹോ നാമ ഷഡശീതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സപ്താശീതമോധ്യായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ പരീക്ഷിതുവാച ബ്രഹ്മൻ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യനിർദ്ദേശേ നിർഗുണേ ഗുണവൃത്തയ കഥം ചരന്തശ്വതയ സാക്ഷാൽ സദസദപ്പരേ ശ്രീശുകുവാച ബുദ്ധീന്ദ്രിയമന പ്രാണൻ ജനാനാമസജൽ പ്രഭു മാത്രാർത്ഥം ചപവാർത്ഥം ച അൽപനയകൽപനായി ച സൈഷാ ഉപനിഷദ്ഭ്രാമി പൂർവേഷാം പൂർവചൈദ്രത ശ്രദ്ധയാധാരയധ്യസ്ഥാം ക്ഷേമം ഗച്ഛേതകിഞ്ചന അത്രദേവർണയിഷ്യാമി ഗാഥാം നാരായണാന്വിതം നാരദസ്യ സംവാരം ഋഷീനാരായണസ്യ ച ഏകദാ നാരദോ ലോകാൻ പര്യടൻ ഭഗവത്പ്രിയ സനാതനമുഷ്യം ദ്രഷ്ടം യേയോ നാരായണാശ്രമം യോ വൈ ഭാരതവർഷേസ്മിൻ ക്ഷേമായ അസ്വസ്ഥയേന്ദ്രണാം ധർമ്മജ്ഞാനശമോ മേധ ആകൽപാദസ്ഥിതസ്തവ തത്രോപവിഷ്ടം ഋഷഭി കലാപഗ്രാമവാസിഭി പരീതം പ്രണതോപൃച്ഛം ഇതമേവ കുരുദ്വഹ തസ്മൈ അവോചൽ ഭഗവാൻ ഋഷീണാം ശൃണതാമിതം യോ ബ്രഹ്മവാദപൂർവേഷാം ജനലോകനിവാസിനാം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച സ്വയംഭൂ ബ്രഹ്മസത്രം ജനലോകേ ഭവത്പുര തത്രസ്ഥാനാം മാനസാനാം മുനീനാം ഊർധ്വരേതസാം ശ്വേതദീപം ഗതവതി ത്വയിദ്രഷ്ടം തദീശ്വരം ബ്രഹ്മവാദസസംവൃത്ത ശ്രുതയോ യത്ര ശേരതേ തത്രഹായമോൽപ്രശ്നസ്ത്വമാമ്യമനുപൃച്ഛസി തുല്യശ്രുതതപശീലാം തുല്യസ്വീകാരി മധ്യമാം അഭിചക്രുപ്രവചനം ഏകം ശുശ്രൂഷവോ പരേ സനന്ദന ഉവാച സ്വസൃഷ്ടമിതമാപീയ ശയാനം സഹശക്തിവി തദന്തേബോധയാൻ ചക്രു സ്ഥല്ലിംഗേ ശ്രുതയപരം യഥാ ശയാനം സമ്രാജം വന്ദിനസ്ഥൽപരാക്രമേ പ്രത്യൂഷേഭ്യത്യ ശുശ്രോകേർ ബോധയന്തനു ജീവിന ശ്രുതയ ഊചുഹു ജയ ജയ ജഹ്യ ജാമജിതദോഷകൃപീത ഗുണാം ത്വമസി യദാത്മനാ സമസ്തവരുദ്ധ സമസ്തഭഗ അഗജഗതോകസാം അഖിലശക്തവബോധഗതേ കുജതജയാത്മനാ ജരദോ നുജരേ നിഗമഃ ബൃഹദുപലബ്ധമേതവയന്ത്യവശേഷതയാ യത ഉദയാസ്തമയോ വികൃതേർ മൃതിവാവാവികൃതാത് അത ഹൃഷയോ ധുതുസ്ത്വയി മനോവചനാചരിതം കഥമയഥാഭവന്തി ഭുവി ദത്തപദാനി നൃണാം ഇതി തവധ സ്മരയാം സ്മരയസ്യധിപതേ അഖിലലോകമലക്ഷപണ കഥാമൃതാദ്യമവഗാഹ്യതപാംസിജുഃ കിമുത പുനഃസ്വധാമ വിദുദാശയകാലഗുണ പരമഭജന്തിയേ പദമജസ്രസുഖാനുഭവം ഹൃദയമിവ ശ്വസന്തി സുഹൃതോ യതി തേനുവിത മഹദഹമാദയോണ്ടമസൃജൻ യതനുഗ്രഹത പുരുഷവിധോന്നയോത്ര ചരമോന്നമയാദിഷുയ സദസദപരം ത്വമഥ യതീഷവശേഷമൃതം ഉദരമുപാസദേയ കൃഷിവർമ്മസുകൂർപ്പദൃശ പരിസരപദ്ധതിം ഹൃദയമാരുണയോദഹരം തത് ഉദഗദാ ഉദഗാദനന്ദവധാമ ശിരപരമം പുനരിഹയത്സമേത്യ നപതന്തി കൃതാന്തമുഖേ സുഹൃതവിചിത്രയോനിഷുവിഷന്നിവ ഹേതുതയ തരതമശ്ചകാസ്യ നലവത് സുഹൃദാനുകൃതി അഥ വിദദാസമൂഷവിദതം ദവധാമ സമം വിരജതി യോന്വയന്ത്യഭിവിവണ്യവ ഏകരസം സുഹൃതപുരുഷമീഷബിരന്തരസംവരണം തവ പുരുഷം വദന്ത്യഖില ശക്തിതൃതോം ശകൃതം ഇതി നൃഗതിം വിവിച്ച കവയോ നിഗമാവപനം ഭവത ഉപാസതേങ്കിമഭവം ഭൂയി വിശ്വസിത ദുരവകമാത്മതത്വ നിഗമായ തവാത്തതനോശ്ചരിത മഹാമൃതാബ്ദി പരിവർത്ത പരിശ്രമണ ന പരിലഷന്തി കേചിദ് അപവർഗമവീശ്വരതേ ചരണസരോജഹംസകുലസംഗ വിസൃഷ്ടഗൃഹാ തൊതനുപദം കലായമിതമാത്മസുഹൃൽപ്രിയവച്ചരതി തദോന്മുഖേ ത്വയിഹിതേ പ്രിയമാത്മനി ച നഭദരമന്ദ്യഹോ അസദുപാസനയാത്മഹനോ യദനുശയാഭ്രമന്തിരുഭയേ കുശരീരഭൃതാ നിഭൃത മരുന്മനോക്ഷദൃഢയോഗയുജോ ഹൃദയന്മുനയമുപാസതേ തദരയോപിയയു സ്മരണാൽ സ്ത്രീയ ഉരകേന്ദ്രഭോഗഭുജദണ്ഡ വിഷക്തതയോ വയമഭിതേ സമാ സമദൃശോങ്ക്രിസരോജസുധാ ക ഇഹ നിവേദപദാവരജന്മലയോഗ്രസരം യത ഉദഗാമൃഷീരിയമനു ദേവഗണാ ഉഭയേ തർഹി നസന്ന ചാസദുഭയം ന ച കാലജവ കിമപി ന തത്ര ശാസ്ത്രമവകൃഷ്യ ശൈതയത ജനിമ സദസദോ മൃതി ഉദാത്മനിജയേചിധാം വിപണമൃതം സ്മരന്തുപതിശന്ദിത ആരുവിതൈ ത്രിഗുണമയ പുമാനിതിഭിധായഥബോധകൃത ത്വയിന തത പത്വരത്ര സഭവേദവബോധരസേ സദിവ മനസ്ത്രിവൃത്വയി വിഭാത്യ സദാ മനുജാൽ സദവിമുശന്തമശേഷമിതമാത്മതയാത്മവിത നഹി വികൃതിം ത്യജന്തി കനകസ്യ തദാത്മതയാ സുഹൃതമനുപ്രവിഷ്ടമിതമാത്മതയാവസിതം തവ പരിയേ ചരന്തകില സത്വനികേതതയാ ത ഉദപദാക്രമന്ത വിഗണയ്യ ശിരോ നിരുതേ പരിവയസേ പശൂനിവ ഗിരാ വിപുതായ പിതാം സ്ത്രീകൃത സൗഹൃദാ ഖലു പുനന്ദിനയേ വിമുഖാം ത്വമകരണസ്വരാടകില കാരകശക്തിതര സ്ത്വമലിമുദ്വഹന്തി സമദന്ത്യജയാ നിമിഷാം വർഷഭുജോ ഗുലക്ഷിതിപദേരിവ വിശ്വസൃജോ വിതതടി യത്രയേ തുതികൃതാ ഭവതശ്ചകിതാം സ്ഥിരജലജാതയ സ്ഥിരജയോത്ഥ നിമിത്തയുജോ വിഹരമുദീക്ഷയായതി പരസ്യ വിമുക്തതാ നഹി പരമസ്യ കശ്ചിതപരോ ന പരശ്ച ഭവേൻ വിയത ഉപാ ഇവാപദസ്യ തവ ശൂന്യതുലാം ധതതാ അപരിമിതാധ്രുവാസ്തനുമൃതോ യതി സർവഗതാ സ്തർഹി നശാസ്യതേതി നിയമോ ദ്രോണേധരഥ അജനിജയന്മയം തളവിമുച്യ നിയന്ത്ര ഭവേത് സമമനു ജാനതാം യതമതം മതദുഷ്ടതയാ ന ഖട ഉത്ഭവ പ്രകൃതി പുരുഷയോ രജയോ ഉഭയയുജാ ഭവന്തി സുമൃതോ ജലവുദ്ഭുതവൻ ത്വയിരേ ഇമേതോ വിവിധ നാമ ഗുണൈ പരമേ സരിതമിവാർണവേ മധുനിലില്യുരശേഷരസാം നിഷുതവമായയാഭ്രമനീഷവഗത്യപൃഷം ത്വയി സുധിയോ ഭവേതരിഭാവമനുപ്രഭവം കഥമനു വർത്തതാം ഭവഭയം തവയദ്ഭ്രുവുടി സൃജതി മോഹസ്രണേമിരഭവച്ചരണേഷു ഭയം വിജിത കൃഷിക വായുബിരദാന്തമന സ്തുരഗം യ ഇഹ ദന്തി യതുമതിലോലമുപായ ഗീത വ്യസനശദാനുദാസമവഹായ ശുരോശ്ചരണം വണിജമിവാച സന്ധ്യകൃതകർണധരാ ജലധൌ സ്വജനസുതാത്മദാരദാന ദാമധരാസുരധൈ സ്ത്വയി സതിം കീർണാം ശ്രയതമാത്മനി സർവരസേ ഇതി സദജാനദാം മിഥുനദോരഥയേ ചരദാം സുഖയതി കോന്യുഹസോ വിഹദേ സുനിരസ്തഭഗേ ഭൂമി പുരുവണ്യദൂർത്ത സദാനിയുഷുഭയോ വിമദാസ്ത ഉദഭവത്പദാംബുജഹൃദോഖഭിദംഗ്രിജല ദദതി സകൃന്മനസ്ത്വൈന സ്വയ്യ ആത്മനി നിത്യസുഖേ ന പുനരുപാസദേ പുരുഷസാര ഹരാവസഥാൻ സദൈതമുത്ഥിതം സതിരി ചേന്ദനുതർക്കഹതം വ്യഭിചരതി ക്വജ ക്വജവുഷാന തഥോഭയയും വിവഹൃതയേ വികൽപ്പമിഷിതോന്ധപരമ്പരയാ ഭ്രമയതി ഭാരതീത ഉരുവൃത്തിവിരുദ്ധജഡാൻ നയനിതമഗ്രമാസന ഭവിഷ്യതോ നിധനം അനുമിതമന്തരാ ത്വയി വിഭാതി മൃഷൈകരസേ അത ഉപമീയതേ ദ്രവിണജാതി വികൽപ്പവധൈ വിധ വിധതമനോ വിലാസമൃതമിത്യവയന്ത്യബുധ സയദ ജയാ തുജാമനിഷൈത ഗുണം ശുഷൻ ഭജതി സ്വരൂപതാം തദനു മൃത്യമഭേദഭഗ ത്വമുദജഹാസി ത്വാമഹിരിഹചമാത്തഭഗോ മഹസി മഹീയശേഷ്ടഗുണിതേ അപരിമേയഭഗ യധിന സമുദ്രം നിയതയോ ഹൃദി കാമജട ദുരധികമോ സദാം ഹൃദിഗതോ സ്മൃതകണ്ഠമണി അസുദ്രുപയോഗിനുഭയോപ്യസുഖം ഭഗവൻ അനപഗതാന്തകാ അനധിരൂപവതാദ്ഭവതാം രൂഢപദാദ്ഭവതാം ത്വദവഗമീനവേത്തി ഭവദുത്തശുഭാശുഭയോർ ഗുണവിഗുണാന്വയാം സർഹി ദേഹവൃതാം ജഗിര അനിയുഗമന്വഹംസ ഗുണഗീത പരമ്പരയാ ശ്രവണഭൃതോ യതസ്ത്വമപവർഗഗതിർമനിജൈ ദ്വിപദയേവദേനയുരന്തമനന്ദതയാമപിയദന്തരാണ്ടനിചയാനുസാവരണ ഖ ഇവരജാംസി വാന്തിവയസാ സഹയച്ഛുതയ സ്വൈഹി ഫലന്ത്യതന്നിരസനേന ഭവന്നിധന ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച ഇത്യേതൽ ബ്രഹ്മണപുത്ര അശുദ്ധ്യാത്മാനുശാസനം സനന്ദനമഹാശു സിദ്ധാജ്ഞാത്വാത്മനോഗതിം ഇത്യശേഷസമാംനായ പുരാണോപനിഷദ്രസ സമുദ്രതപൂർവജാദേവ്യോർ ഓമയാനേർമഹാത്മവി ത്വം ചൈതൽ ബ്രഹ്മദായാദ ശ്രദ്ധയാത്മാനുശാസനം ധാരയം ശരകാം കാമം കാമാനാം ഭർജനം നൃണാം ശ്രീശുകുവാച ഏവം സൃഷണാദിഷ്ടം ഗൃഹീത്വാ ശ്രദ്ധയാത്മവാൻ പൂർണ്ണശ്രുതരോരാജൻ അഹവീരവ്രതോ മുനി നാരദവാച നമസ്തസ്മൈ ഭഗവതേ കൃഷ്ണായാമലകീർത്തയേ യോ ധത്തെ സർവഭൂതാനാം അഭാവായോഷധി അഭാവായോഷധീകല ഇത്യാദൃഷിമാനം തച്ഛിഷ്യാംശ്ച മഹാത്മന ദത്തോ അഗാധാശ്രമം സാക്ഷാൽ പിതുർദ്വൈപായനസ്യ മേ സഭാജിതോ ഭഗവത കൃതാസന പരിഗ്രഹ തസ്മൈ തദ്വർണയാമാസ നാരായണ മുഖാശ്രുതം ഇത്യേതദ്വർണിതം രാജൻ എന്ന പ്രശ്നകൃതസ്ത്വയ യഥാ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യ നിർദ്ദേശ്യേ നിർഗുണേവി മനശ്ചരേൽ യോസ്യൽ പ്രേക്ഷയമാതി മധ്യനിധനെ യോ അവ്യക്ത ജീവേശ്വരോ യസൃഷ്ടേതമനുപ്രവിശിർഷിണ ചക്രേ പുരാ ശാസ്തിത യം സമ്പദ്ധ ജഹാത്യജാമനിഷൈ സുപ്തകലായം കുലായം യഥാ തം കൈവല് നിരസ്തയോ നിമഹയം ധ്യായേദജസ്രം ഹരിം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമംസ്യം സംവിധായം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ നാരദനാരായണ സംവാദ് നാരായണ സംവാദേ വേദസ്തുതിർനാമ സപ്താശീതമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. So, in the last chapter, before this, that is 85, 84, those chapters, spoke about the pilgrimage to solar eclipse, pilgrimage to Samanta Panchakam, and the solar eclipse associated with that. Then, many stories were spoken, and in each one of them, Krishna's that position as the Ishwara manifests there in all the stories to show to us that Krishna is Ishwara, the supreme controller, and that divine nature. And accordingly, other stories have come. Parikshit Maharaj asked that question that you have told me a lot of stories. Parikshit says to Sudev Goswami. And lot of them were related to Krishna's marriage. And then Parikshit says to Subrahma Maharshi, why you didn't tell me about my grandmother's marriage? That was the question. Why you didn't tell me about my grandmother's marriage? He said, because it's not so important that it should not be included in the Bhagavatam. Subhadra's marriage. Is it not important? Is that why you didn't say anything about it? Parikshit asked this question. You so told me about the marriage of Krishna's marriages and Krishna's children's marriage, Pradyumna's marriage, and grandchildren's marriage also, Aniruddha's marriage, all these things were spoken. But why only grandmother's marriage was left behind? That was the question. Why did you not say anything about the grandmother's marriage? Shukra Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, that is true, I left it out, he said. He said, actually it should be spoken, along with all the other marriages. I'm sorry I left it behind. And not only that, talking about the marriage of Subhadra, there is some speciality with this marriage. Shukra Brahmarshi says, there is some speciality with Subhadra's marriage. Subhadra's marriage is not marriage, it's called Subhadra Haranam, stealing Subhadra. Subhadra was stolen, isn't it? And Parikshit Maharaj's grandmother, she is. Abhimanyu's is mother. So, what is special about this marriage? What is special about this marriage? Subhadra's marriage. Generally, people take to sannyasa ashram when they don't want to continue with the householder life, or when they are fed up with the household life. That's when they take sannyasam, isn't it? But what Arjuna did was, for the sake of getting married, he took sannyasam. Exactly opposite way. Generally, people take sannyasam after they had enough of householder life and they had decided to move on from there. And they give up householder life and come to sannyasam. Arjuna took sannyasam to become a householder. That is the interesting part of this Subhadra's marriage. So he took sannyas first, and then he became a householder. Therefore, it is an interesting thing. It's not that he wanted, it happened like that. He had to do it, he had no other choice. That's why it happened like that. And Arjuna used to take sannyas very often. Before also, because of the situation at home. And Mahabharatam will talk about all that. Different times when Arjuna has taken sannyasam. So, that means, there was an agreement that the Pandavas all together had this one wife, Draupadi, isn't it? So, only 1 year Yudhishthira, 1 year Bhima, 1 year Arjuna, in a order, they used to have the have Draupadi as their wife. So 1 year they'll spend with one person, another year she'll spend with the next person. At that time, the others are not allowed to speak to her or associate with her in any way. So Daumya Maharshi has made this rule for the Pandavas and Draupadi, that only one person will associate 1 year with Draupadi, and next year, and that time when Yudhishthira is associating with Draupadi as his wife, then other four brothers have no right to talk to her or associate with her in any form. They are to be, this rule was kept by Daumya. Daumya did that. But sometimes it happened that Arjuna had to break that rule, what Daumya has said. What happened was, when Draupadi was with Bhima or with Nagula or Sahadeva, whatever it is, suddenly for some reason Arjuna will have to go inside into the room to pick up his bow and arrow or some emergency situations like that. He couldn't do anything, not that he had any other intentions, but he used to break the law often. And the law was that if he breaks the law, then he has to go away for a year as a sannyasi. That's how Arjuna had to become a sannyasi many times before. So, in one instance, Arjuna went to see Yudhishthira when Yudhishthira was with Draupadi. And Draupadi was there. What can be done? Arjuna had to follow that same rule that he has to become a sannyasi. But the interesting thing was, in this 1 year, when Arjuna becomes a sannyasi and goes away, after a year when he comes back, as a sannyasi has gone and come back, by then he would have got married 3 or 4 times. This also used to happen with Arjuna. Kshatriyas, isn't it? But nature you can't change. So that is also another interesting thing with Arjuna. So in one instance, Arjuna travelled in this way, and in a sannyasi, in many places he travelled. Almost a year is over, and he came to Prabhasa Tirtham. So another 2 months he has to wait before he goes back to Asinapur. So he decided to stay in Prabhasam. Krishna is not far from there in Dwaraka. So in Prabhasam is a holy place where people go to bathe in the sea there. So when he got there, some Brahmanas had come there for Tirthasnanam, for bathing in the ocean. And they were talking to each other. And Arjuna overheard all this conversation. Brahmanas generally are looking for where is the next feast to be. That's their only happiness in this life. So they were thinking, they were talking to each other. So, and particularly those who are fond of nice prasadam, and they will say about, they will have a proper information with them, where will be the next feast, where to visit, where Brahmanas get together. So another Brahmana told, one Brahmana was asking this about the next feast, another Brahmana said, it is in Dwaraka, the next one. So this Brahmana said, what is special in Dwaraka, what's happening there? So other Brahmana said, there is a marriage there. Whose marriage is that? Subhadra Devi's marriage has been decided. And that's where the feast is. So other Brahmana said, for whom is she getting married to? And the other Brahmana said, what does it matter? Who is she getting married to? All we are bothered about is a good feast, isn't it? What does it matter who she is getting married to? Our concern is that it must be a good feast. That's all, isn't it? So, let anybody marry, what does it matter? No. The Brahmana said, I'm just asking to know who is getting married to. So, the other Brahmana said, I heard certain things that Balaram has planned to marry her to Duryodhana. And that is the decision Balaram has taken. I heard like this, he said. I didn't inquire about it. Doesn't matter to me and all. Arjuna overheard all these things. Was there. Arjuna was in serious, very unhappy about it. That he had this desire to marry Subhadra before, but what to do now? How to bring this issue? Now Balaram has taken a decision. And what to do? Asking these Brahmanas is no use. They have no interest in all these things. Not only that, if I say anything to them, somehow something, the news might reach Dwaraka, and it could be dangerous as well. Suppose he is a sannyasi now. Sannyasi asked this Brahmana, Balaram has decided to marry Subhadra to Duryodhana. The Brahmanas will say, you are a sannyasi, aren't you? What business have you got in the marriage of Subhadra? They will ask this question back. And then it becomes more awkward to say anything about it. Can't say anything. So, at the same time, Arjuna wants to know how far things have progressed. You see, by chance, Krishna was traveling around. He also arrived in Prabhasam at the same time. And he saw Arjuna in the sannyasi dress, sitting there. Krishna inquired to Arjuna, how you are getting on, how things are. Arjuna never keeps anything from Krishna. He was very open and he says to Krishna, I heard that Subhadra is getting married. Is that true? He says to Krishna, you know about me, don't you? Arjuna's relationship with Krishna, you can see from this. You know about me, don't you? Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, what's the matter? Do you want to marry Subhadra? Is that what you want to do? He says. So Arjuna said yes. Arjuna said, hopefully that I want to marry Subhadra. So, keeping all these desires inside to marry Subhadra and wandering around like a sannyasi like this, that the best thing is, Arjuna could not understand what Krishna was saying. Sometimes Krishna will say certain things to Arjuna with a meaning behind it. Arjuna wouldn't get it all the time. Arjuna didn't understand anything what Krishna was saying. Krishna was saying to Arjuna that you're keeping this desire inside and you are wandering around like a sannyasi. Better than that is not better to remain like a sannyasi, proper sannyasi. Anyway, he didn't understand anything, kept quiet. Krishna says to Arjuna, you come to Dwaraka and have a proper saffron dhoti and also this bamboo danda in the hand, then the mediyadi, what they use for their feet, the shoes, sannyasi shoes, then the water pot, kamandalu. Krishna says to Arjuna, you should have all these things. Without that, it's not complete. He says, sannyasa ashram is not complete without all these things. If you be a sannyasi, be a proper sannyasi. And come to Dwaraka, he said. So, anyway, as a first class sannyasi now, with everything in the hand, water pot, the staff, the rod in the hand, with the sannyasi shoes, saffron clothes, everything, Arjuna goes to Dwaraka. There was a temple in Dwaraka where there was a huge banyan tree outside that temple. Arjuna went and sat there. Sannyasis are not allowed to go and see in houses. Very renounced order, Arjuna. Went into the temple and he has also got his yoga danda where they put their left hand on that staff on that. So after visiting the temple, bathing in the tank, visiting the temple, he came out and sat underneath this huge banyan tree. And he was with this yoga dand, he sat in meditation there. Arjuna is in meditation. So, in them days, if very big sannyasis comes, the news will be spread all over the village very fast. Everybody will come to know. And people started seeing Arjuna there, and when you look at Arjuna's face, looked very effulgent face he has got. And immediately the news spread all over Dwaraka that a very famous sannyasi had come. And he is staying in the, he is underneath the tree sitting there. And by looking at him, he looks very impressive. So, people were talking to each other about Arjuna. They don't know anything about Arjuna in Dwaraka. So one person says to another, I went and saw him yesterday, I paid my obeisances and came back. And how the news spreads, he says, I had a lot of pain in my stomach. As soon as I paid my obeisances, the pain has gone. This is how it starts, isn't it? And another person said, my headache has gone, this has gone, that has gone. So, in this way, different experiences, they all spoke about about this new sannyasi. This is common in the villages, people talking to each other like this, and how it gets spread all over. Sometimes people take this kind of things very seriously. One person said that I drank the water from a particular well, because of that my stomach pain has gone. And when the news spread like that, within a few days the water was finished in the well. There was no more water in the well, to that extent. So, there are many people who believe in this kind of propaganda. And due to this sannyasi, more people started coming to the temple. And they were not coming to see the deity or the temple or temple worship, but instead to see the sannyasi. It became very, he became very famous and it spread all over. By now, as usual, the sannyasi, some disciples had come to serve the sannyasi. So somehow or the other, the news spread and the news reached Balram also. Balram came to know some famous sannyasi had come to Dwaraka and he is in the temple sitting there. Balram says to Krishna, "Krishna, did you hear about a sannyasi who had come to Dwaraka?" And I heard, Balram says to Krishna, "In the temple there is a famous sannyasi who is very renounced and who has got a lot of siddhis. He is present there." Krishna says to Balram, "You know these sannyasis. There's many of them like this," he said. "That, and if you start going inquiring about them, that is not going to get very far. Because you really don't know who these people are, some of these sannyasis. And there are many like that," he said. As though Krishna has no interest in any of these things. He spoke in that way to Balram. Balram says, "Krishna, you are not very pure in your heart. That's why you are speaking like this. No chitta shuddhi in you." Balram says to Krishna, "You are not pure. You should know how to honor great personalities. You don't know how to do that." Balram is saying to Krishna. Krishna says, "That's true. I don't know how to do that," he said. And Balram says, "I'm going to go and see him. You should also come with me." Balram says to Krishna. Krishna says to Balaram, "Do I have to come to make it as Balaram's initiative?" Krishna says to Balaram, "Do I have to come? Why don't you go?" Balaram says to Krishna, "If I go alone, that's not good enough. You should also come. Only then it is a serious matter. We are both representing this family. All both of us go together and pay our respects to him." Both of them together started to go and see the sannyasi. In advance they told the sannyasi, information was sent, Krishna and Balaram is coming to visit the sannyasi. So, and they will be coming to see sannyasi, and the information was passed on to all the disciples who were managing the affairs of the sannyasi. And that day, when they heard people, all the people in Dwaraka heard Krishna and Balaram is going to visit the sannyasi, so many more people came there. It became a big issue, isn't it? Because when Krishna and Balaram goes there, naturally, all the people thought this must be a really genuine sannyasi Krishna and Balaram is going to see. So, because Krishna and Balaram had come to see the sannyasi, automatically there was a control of the crowd. You have to control the crowd then, isn't it? There were so many people there. There was a control in the crowd. Loads of people who are managing the crowd. And Balaram and Krishna came. They came to the temple, washed their feet and face, everything. And then they came to, went inside the temple, had a darshan of the deity. And then they came out and they went to see the sannyasi. So, when Krishna and Balaram is going, there's loads of others also joined them to see the sannyasi. So Krishna went circumambulating the banyan tree and said, "Where is the sannyasi? Where is he there?" So by now the disciples had come. Loads of people are around sannyasi standing there. So the disciples had come and told Krishna and Balaram that, come this way, we'll take you to sannyasi." They were taking him. So, by now, all the people there, they felt that the sannyasi shouldn't be like this, sitting underneath the tree. We should have a proper place for him. We should build an ashram for him. They started talking to each other. And by now, the fundraising all started along with that. This is how it builds up, isn't it? Fundraising starts straight away. So the head of that fundraising group has come to Balaram also and requested to Balaram that if you can help us to build the ashram for the sannyasi, it will be very, very nice. Balaram told him, write so much amount in my name, put it on, he said. So then they asked Krishna. Krishna says, I won't give you a penny for this sannyasi. Krishna says, I won't give a penny for this sannyasi, he said. This is how Krishna is. So, and Balaram looked at Krishna. Balaram is offering a very good amount. And Krishna is saying, not a penny from me, he says. So, so Krishna knows what's going on. So that is the the fun. Though by now anyway, the disciples didn't take it very seriously, although Krishna refused to pay anything. And they've gone and informed the sannyasi that Krishna and Balaram had come to see you, he says. And when he heard that, Arjuna got a bit frightened inside. Right? Is the whole thing going to come out? The cat is going to come out of the bag in that way. So whatever breakfast he had taken, it all got digested straight away. And somehow or the other he has to manage now, isn't it? Immediately what Arjuna did was he closed his eyes and went into meditation. As though he is in samadhi state. So Balaram came first, paid his obeisances to the sannyasi, touched the sannyasi's feet, put it on the head, very respectfully. And then asked the disciples, when will the sannyasi come out of the meditation? How long will he be in this dhyanam samadhi stage? So the main disciple, chief disciple, he said, it's very difficult to say that, when he will come out of the sannyasi. A sannyasi will come out of the meditation. That depends on the luck of the visitor. That's the answer. Depends on the luck of the visitor. If you are very lucky, then the eyes will be open very, very soon. Otherwise, it can go on for hours like this, he said. So, all you can do is to wait and see what happens. So, Arjuna is hearing all these things and he's getting worried what to do. It's getting a bit complicated, isn't it? Whether to open the eyes or keep the eyes closed. He was thinking like that. And Krishna is standing there and looking at Arjuna. All this thing. If you look into the third canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a verse there which is very correct verse to reflect Krishna's mood. Look at the third canto, in the third canto, 28th chapter. 3:28. Hasam hare, hasam hare, avanathakila loka tivra, shoka ashru sagara, visheoshanam atyudaram, sammohanaya rajitam nijamaya yasya, brumandalam munigrade magaradhujasyaham. You see that first line, hasam hare, avanadhagila loka tivra shoka ashru sagaram visheshana matyudaram. Krishna's smile is very difficult to understand when Krishna is smiling. Very difficult to understand when Krishna smiles. Hasam hare. Hasam. When Krishna smiles, you don't know what Krishna means. Bhagavatam says in another place, when Krishna smiles, Maya, you can immediately understand. Krishna has seen the Maya properly there. Hasam hare avanadhagila loka tivra atyudara visheshana dhruvam. That hasam means when Krishna looked at Arjuna and saw that dress and the way Arjuna was sitting and that meditation and all that and the way the eyes are closed and in that meditation mood. And when Arjuna saw all, Krishna saw all that, Krishna smiled. He couldn't control Krishna could not control himself and he smiled. That is that hasam. Hasam means that smile of Arjuna Krishna at that moment. So, only in situations like this, in Bhagavatam they will use this word hasam for Krishna. When Krishna smiles like that. There are a few instances like that spoken. When Krishna has smiled in certain instances like that. So, after a few minutes, the sannyasi opened the eyes. So the disciple says, "You are very fortunate," they say to Balram. "Look, the sannyasi has opened the eyes and you are very fortunate," he said. "Who is fortunate?" "Balram is very fortunate, isn't it?" Immediately, as soon as the eyes opened, Balram again fell down and paid another obeisances to him again. And then Balram turned to Krishna. "Krishna, pay your obeisances," he says. "I have paid my obeisances, you should pay your obeisances." Krishna looked at Arjuna. Arjuna, with the eyes showed like this, "Do whatever necessary so that things won't come out of the situation. Don't put me into trouble," in that sense. Arjuna is looking at Krishna and saying to him, "Don't put me into trouble," he says. So, then Krishna paid the obeisances to please Balaram and not to reveal the whole thing, the scandal. So, Balaram is having a discussion with Arjuna. Balaram is saying, "You must have traveled a lot as a sannyasi, haven't you?" Sannyasi says, "Yes, I've traveled everywhere." He said, "So, what was the Purvashrama?" Purvashrama means previous life. Before I took to sannyasashram, what was that? He keeping that dignity of the sannyasashram, he says, "I don't think about my Purvashram anymore. I never discuss it, nor I think about it anymore, about the Purvashram." So Balaram thought, "Oh, he must be very advanced. Because to be in a sannyasi state, who don't even think about the past, you're supposed to forget everything." So when he got the answer like that, he doesn't want to discuss about the Purvashramam. Balaram thought that he must have been a very strongly fixed sannyasi in that way. So, Balaram says, "That's the right thing." Balaram says to Arjuna, "So, in sannyasi, once you become a sannyasi, then you should not remember about your householder life or the previous life before that. Purvashramam is not proper. So, where all have you traveled?" He says, "I've traveled from Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet, right up to the lower planetary systems I've traveled," he says. Balaram was very impressed. Balaram says, "You have done so much. And what about the education and all?" He says, "I've studied all the Vedas, all the Shastrams, everything. Itihasams, Puranams, everything. I have mastered it." And when Balaram heard all that, became very much more respectful to Arjuna. And Balaram started thinking now. Looked at Krishna and says to him, "Krishna, we never had such a great sannyasi in Dwaraka before. Nobody had come here. And it's not proper for us. We ruling from Dwaraka in a magnificent style. We are managing everything in Dwaraka. And such a great sannyasi comes here. And he stays like this underneath the tree. Is it not bad name for us? What will people think about us?" In this way they started conversation with Krishna. So, not only that, this is the Chaturmasyam time, the 4 months where sannyasis are supposed to live in one place and perform their nishtha seriously. So, why not make the Chaturmasyam for this sannyasi in Dwaraka? Instead of in Prabhasam, bring him to Dwaraka and let him have his Chaturmasyam in Dwaraka. So, Balaram was having this conversation with Krishna a few meters away from where the sannyasi is sitting. So Krishna says to Balaram, "Is it all necessary? What do we need all this for?" He says, "There could be many type of people in this world with different dresses. Who knows about him, what his background is? You are hearing what he's told you and you are thinking that he is a famous sannyasi and all. You bring him home and what problem he'll create tomorrow, we don't know. You can't trust anybody these days." Krishna is saying this to Balaram. But not only that, when I look at his face, Krishna says to Balaram, "I don't see any renunciation, signs of renunciation on that face." That's how, who said, Krishna says to Balaram. So, first of all, look at his body. He's very, very young. And how can there be so much vairagyam at this age in life? How is that possible? Krishna is indicating that sannyasa ashram and young people take, there's also a possibility like that. Balaram says, Krishna, you don't know. You don't understand. Because you got such bad thoughts in your mind. That is why you're talking like this. You don't have that manashuddhi, no proper purity inside. Then when Balaram said like that, Krishna says to him, you can do whatever you like. I don't have anything to say. I told you what I have to say, but you can do whatever you like, he said. So, all right, Balaram says, I've decided, he says. Krishna says, if you have decided, I'll help you whichever way necessary. So, why Krishna said all these things was, Krishna knew what was going to happen later. Knowing all these things, he doesn't want that Krishna to be blamed by Balaram later. In order to avoid that, Krishna knew very well what was going to happen late in the future. So he did not want him to be blamed for that. So he thought the right thing to do right now, at this point itself, to say to Balaram that I have no responsibility, you are taking the responsibility, you do what you like. So from this point onwards, Krishna has started this, that I have nothing to do, you are doing it, so that tomorrow you don't turn around to me when things go wrong, isn't it? So immediately Balaram says to bring the chariot is brought. We have to ask the sannyasi for the permission, isn't it, to come and stay in Dwarka. So by the time they went to ask sannyasi, sannyasi has gone into samadhi again. Sannyasi has gone to samadhi. What to do now? So the disciples are saying that they discussed with the disciples who are present there. So the disciples said to Krishna and Balaram, you can take it that the silence is as permission. Silence can be accepted as permission. You can take it like that. So Balaram's chariot arrived and he paid his obeisances again. So by now Balaram has paid 3-4 times obeisances to this new sannyasi and says to him, begged Arjuna, he doesn't know it's Arjuna, he says, beg the sannyasi, if you could make your chaturmasyam in Dwaraka, we'll be very honored. Balaram says to Arjuna, we'll be very honored if you can make the chaturmasyam in Dwaraka, he says. So, so at that time, when Balaram said all these things, Arjuna is looking at Krishna's face. What is the reaction from there, from Krishna? He's saying here, isn't it? Krishna, Krishna, when Arjuna is looking at him, Krishna is not looking at Arjuna. Krishna is looking somewhere else. So deliberately, all this whole drama, Krishna is making it in this way. So, Krishna is not saying anything. So, since Balaram is invited, sannyasi gets up, goes and gets into the chariot. And then, you know, a famous sannyasi is coming to Dwaraka, so a lot of drums, musical instruments, music, everything, like a big procession, he's been brought into Dwaraka. And Krishna and Balaram is in the front walking, taking the sannyasi to Dwaraka. Balaram with folded hands, with all lots of respect, expecting everybody to show respect to the sannyasi. And Krishna, without any change in the face, is walking along with that. Krishna is always thinking, if this whole thing comes out, what will happen? He knows. He knows Balaram's nature, what it's like. So, and Balaram has also got that musalam in the hand. If the whole thing comes out, you know what will happen. Anyway, they arrived in Dwaraka with the whole party together. And made arrangements for the sannyasi to stay in Dwaraka. In the Mahabharata, you will see this, when sannyasis come home, they should have a separate place to stay. And you can see that in many, many big towns, when sannyasis go, they have places to stay, separately earmarked for them. And there will be facilities for them. In olden days, it was like that, very prominent. They were allowed to ask to stay in the sannyasa ashrams, they are called. Sannyasa ashram. Particularly, famous sannyasis, when they come, they'll go there directly and there will be facilities for them to be maintained. But all that is disintegrating now. It's going away. So, what was special with Dwaraka was that when sannyasis come like that, normally the opportunity was given, not to the men, for the women, to look after them. And therefore, the particularly young girls who will now have the opportunity, who are going to get married or who are not married, they will be given the choice to serve the sannyasis. You can see this in the Mahabharata also, many places. Durvasava Maharshi was served by Kunti Devi. And by the mercy of these great personalities, they'll get married soon, or they'll have good children from the marriages and things like that. So generally the young girls were allowed to serve the sannyasis, especially arranging their accommodation facilities, prasadam, everything. And sannyasis are supposed to be above all things, isn't it? So it will appear as though Krishna has arranged the facilities in such a way that this sannyasi's ashram and the girls in the family where they lived, their quarters, they were next to each other. As though Krishna has arranged in that way. So, for a few days, initially, Chaturmasam is 4 months. For the first few days, Balaram himself used to bring the prasadam and give it to Arjuna. He wanted to serve directly. Everybody at home wants to felt the necessity to serve the sannyasi personally. So they were doing that. Balaram was so respectful to the sannyasi. But after a few days, Balaram had many things to do. He was a senior member in the family. Therefore, and at the same time, Subhadra's marriage is being discussed in the family. Subhadra's marriage is being discussed. No decision has been taken yet. But Balaram, sometime before, has given word to Duryodhana that he will give Subhadra to her. He will marry Subhadra to Duryodhana. And Balaram has not discussed it with anybody. He made the decision on his own and mentioned this to Duryodhana. This is the situation in the palace. And they were hoping that the marriage should happen nicely. And we require the blessings from this sannyasi for the marriage to happen without any problems. So Balaram decided that since Subhadra is getting married, it would be nice that if Subhadra gets an opportunity to serve the sannyasi for a personal service to sannyasi. So Balaram called Subhadra and told Subhadra that you should be very careful while serving this sannyasi. You should never say anything which will upset him, and should not do everything whatever you have to do to please him for his maintaining here. And whatever he wants, it should be offered. And you also know the story of Kunti Devi, don't you? Kunti Devi's history with Durvasa. All that Balaram told Subhadra. For a few days, Kunti Devi had the good fortune of serving Durvasa Maharshi. Because of that, Kunti Devi survived in this world. You should remember all that things. Balaram brought the whole history back and mentioned this too. With examples, he spoke to Subhadra. So, said all this and got into Subhadra's head. So, for a few days, Subhadra brought the prasadam and given to Arjuna. Arjuna, we won't say sannyasi. Initially, Subhadra also didn't know who it is. Subhadra also didn't know. After a few days, the way sannyasi was walking, and the way the sannyasi sat down, after a few days, sannyasi's way of looking at people, the way he was eating, Subhadra started sensing something is not right here, isn't it? So, some days, Subhadra couldn't go for some reasons. So, at that time, Subhadra had a lot of servants with her, servant maids. Subhadra will send somebody else to give the prasadam for the sannyasi. When food was sent through the servant maids, it was all finished in 2-3 minutes and it was sent back. But when Subhadra brings the prasadam, it takes a couple of hours to finish the prasadam. So, why is this like that? Subhadra started thinking like this. Subhadra started getting a bit concerned about that. And whenever Subhadra looked at the sannyasi's face, she started noticing some particular, impressions there, kind of effulgent nature. And normally, if you look at a sannyasi's face, you will observe certain shanti inside, peace inside. Here, what Subhadra noticed was that Kshatriya's nature in the face. People can sense all these things, isn't it? If you look at a person's face, you know what it is inside. So Subhadra sensed that it doesn't look like a sannyasi. It's more like a Kshatriya's face looking at the sannyasi. And she looked at sannyasi's hands. So on both the hands, you know, by using the bow and arrow, it has become so hard, especially these fingers tips, finger and on the side, because of pulling that bow and arrow. She noticed all that. But sometimes she wanted to confirm, what is this? Who is he? So, but unfortunately, whenever she comes, the hand is in the beads bag. So you can't see that also very clearly. So while washing the hand only, she could look at him, both the hands properly. And that's when she noticed this, that he's chanting all the time. Yes. Sannyasi is always chanting, isn't it? So, so this is because of this only, Arjuna got the name Savyasachi. So, somehow or the other, Subhadra started thinking, this is not a sannyasi. This is not a sannyasi. Looking at the hands, looking at the face, and showing all this interest in talking to her, Subhadra more or less came to the conclusion, this is somebody else. And not only that, but you can't say this to him. Can you ask him, who are you? You can't ask this question. So Subhadra also has to play this very carefully. So, what came to Subhadra's mind was, Subhadra has heard from somebody. So many people, visitors come to the palace, that she heard that Arjuna has taken sannyasam. That also Subhadra has heard. So putting the two and two together, Subhadra's mind started thinking in a different way. But how to ask him? Because after all, Subhadra is Krishna's sister, isn't it? Balaram's sister also. But one day, Subhadra decided to ask the question. She says to him, "My dear sannyasi, don't get upset with me for asking this question. Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, they are our relatives." Who? Subhadra says, "They are our relatives. And they are very particular about people like yourself, sannyasis. They care for the sannyasis always and with a lot of respect also. So, during yourself, sannyasi, during your sannyasi travels, have you ever been to Indraprastham? To our house there?" He says to him. "Did you see any time? They are our relatives there, Pandavas. Have you seen them any time? And is everything okay there with the Pandavas? Did you see them recently?" Arjuna was actually waiting for an opportunity to get a breakthrough in the conversation. Arjuna says that Kundi Devi Kushalini Sahadharma Jadhyai. This is in the Mahabharatam. It says that all Pandavas are very well. Who says? Arjuna is saying that Kundi Devi is also very well. The middle one of the Pandavas, Arjuna, he has taken sannyasam. Sannyasam etya supti surya aste mukunda sahajam pariranga kaangshi. In Mahabharatam, that's how they say. That he has taken he had to take a false sannyasam for a particular reason. Arjuna says this too, that middle Pandava, Arjuna, he has taken sannyasam, that to a kapata sannyasam, false sannyasam, for a purpose, mukunda sahajam pariranga kankshi. He wants to marry Krishna's sister. Therefore, he has also taken sannyasam like this. When Arjuna said this, Subhadra put her head down. How to give the bhiksha to a sannyasi like this? And how not to give? She was in a difficult situation. Subhadra has made up her mind that in her heart she wanted to marry Arjuna. And it has happened like this. It has happened like this. So, both of them knew each other. Arjuna wants to marry Subhadra. Subhadra wants to marry Arjuna. But outwardly they have to show they don't know each other. I am sannyasi, Subhadra is Balaram's sister. So, but internally both of them want to get married. And for a few days it continued like that. And together, how much they suffered, that pain, only Krishna knows. Only Krishna knows. Krishna understood the situation, understood the whole problem. The best thing is now to get them married as quickly as possible and let them go. Otherwise, both of them will in serious trouble if we go on like this forever. So when Krishna understood that they have talked to each other and it has all been, they both want to get married, Krishna decided to organize everything. So what Krishna did was, that temple which was in top of a mountain where there was a big festival, and Krishna wanted that festival to be in a big scale that time. And everybody in Dwaraka had gone for that festival in the temple, including Balaram had gone for that festival. And Balaram was very enthusiastic about the festival. He was thinking that the sannyasi had come home, we should celebrate this festival in a big way. And all kinds of musical instruments and, everything like a normal festival. And that day, Balaram was a little bit taken. He had an effect of that as well inside. And Balaram was enjoying the music. Balaram was enjoying the drums being played in that festival. Krishna thought this is the right time. So, that time Rukmini was there. Vasudeva was there, Devaki was there, and Krishna was also there in the palace, in Dwarakam. So, they decided to marry, in Balaram's absence, decided to marry Subhadra to Arjuna in the palace itself. They got married him and said to Arjuna, don't wait here. Now it's not much time. Take her and run away from here with her as fast as you could leave this place, he said to him. Leave the place, he said. And never mention to anybody, I am involved in all these things. Krishna says to Arjuna, don't say to anybody that I am involved in these things. You take her and you run away from her with her. So, and after all this was done, Krishna and others went back to the festival. What was going on there? And when Krishna and others have gone, Arjuna had by then took Subhadra in the chariot together, and Subhadra is also a Kshatriya woman like Satyabhama. So Arjuna says to Satyabhama, you drive the chariot. If anybody notices us and if anybody comes to fight, I should be ready to fight. So you drive the chariot. Satyabhama drove the chariot from Dwaraka to Indraprastham, and Arjuna was ready to fight and he was sitting in the chariot. So they left Dwaraka. And in Dwaraka, when they left Dwaraka, Dwaraka is protected by Narayana Chauhini. So many soldiers, the whole city is protected. Very powerful soldiers who protect Dwaraka under Balaram's instructions. They were always expecting attacks from outside. So, and also there was possibility of dacoits attacking Dwaraka and things like that. So when Arjuna left with the chariot, automatically they were stopped by the soldiers who were protecting Dwaraka. And there was a big fight. Arjuna beat them all. And when they lost it, the commander of the army who lost, that came and told Arjuna that our boss has told us that we should fight and protect Dwaraka. But since that you have finished everybody here, we can't fight with you. It is not possible. That we have been told that if you have leaving, you should be sent back in a proper way. We have been instructed like that. Krishna has instructed them that if there is anybody problem, that you should honor them when they leave the place. And that was Krishna's planning behind. So Arjuna broke away through all the barriers and came out and left Dwaraka. By then, the news somehow came, because of this fight happened, news reached in the temple and to Balaram that an incident has happened like this, that the sannyasi who was maintained in Dwaraka had taken Subhadra with him and has left Dwaraka and had fought with everybody and escaped from Dwaraka. When Balaram heard this, it says in the Bhagavatam, Parvaniva Subhadrava, like a whole powerful waves from the ocean was coming. That is how Balaram got angry. Balaram took his musalam and the halam. Halam is the plow and musalam is the rod with which he beats people. He said, I will finish that sannyasi now. In that mood, he walked from the temple to Dwaraka. So, and when Balaram was coming, all others have also joined Balaram to help Balaram in this. So, Balaram followed them. And from a distance, Balaram saw Subhadra driving the chariot, Arjuna in the chariot, flying off from there. So, if you have looked at Balaram at that time, you will think as though the death personified has come in front of you. Balaram's mood was so strong. And Arjuna didn't bother. Arjuna didn't care. And immediately he took the bow and arrow and shot a few arrows at Balaram. Arjuna shot the arrows. And the arrows came and paid obeisances to Balaram at his feet. So it was basically not an arrow to fight with Balaram. As is a mark of respect to Balaram, he sent shot two arrows which came and paid its obeisances on the ground at Balaram's lotus feet. And another couple of arrows Arjuna shot. Both went on either side of the face, never touched Balaram's body. And Arjuna also gave a warning, if you move further, the next will be on the chest of Balaram, isn't it? So Balaram stood there, seeing these arrows coming from Arjuna like that. And Balaram didn't know for a moment what he should do. By then, the chariot was flying so fast, and before Balaram could reach there, he has escaped. Arjuna and Subhadra has escaped. And you can imagine Balaram's state. Balaram is terribly angry, and felt very insulted because of all these things. And Arjuna has done this to him. And when he knew that it was Arjuna, he felt that we should call the whole assembly straight away and take action about these Pandavas for what they have done. Balaram thought like that. I'm not going to let him go like this for what he has done. And immediately he left there and called his army commander and told him that declare the war towards them, towards the Pandavas. And Balaram discussed this in the assembly. He invited everybody in the assembly. So when the assembly is called, naturally in the assembly, Krishna also came. Because he's part of the assembly, isn't he? Krishna was sitting in the assembly in one corner, looking at Balaram and Balaram's decision making and all other things. And Balaram was looking at Krishna all the time when he was talking to everybody in the assembly. Then after everything was decided that we are going to fight with the Pandavas and we have to bring Subhadra back from there, we will teach the Pandavas a lesson. All kinds of things were spoken for what they have done, that he came in the dress of a sannyasi and he has done all these things to us. Really insulting things. And unless they are properly punished, this is not going to come to an end, he said. So Krishna is sitting there in one corner without saying one word. Balaram turns to Krishna and says to him, Krishna, why you don't say anything about what has happened? Why you have nothing to say about it? Krishna says to Balaram that, my dear elder brother, you make the decisions, isn't it? You started the whole thing. I have told you from day one that this is what is going to, this can't trust these people, these sannyasis. You can't trust them. Then what am I supposed to say? In advance I have told you, you didn't listen to me. You made the decisions. Now all these things have happened. You are asking me now, what's my opinion? Krishna puts the whole onus on Balaram. You are the one who created the problem. You solve the problem in that way. He says, before you started this fighting with them, you could have asked me. You went and started fighting with them. You could have asked me about it, then I could have said something. But that, so now you have done all these things, you have made the decisions what you are going to do. What am I supposed to say? Krishna is saying to Balaram, isn't it? Already we have made a mistake by inviting the sannyasi. Now there is going to be another mistake by going to fight with them, he said. So Balaram says to him, what's that? What's going to happen? So Krishna says to him, I told you on that day in the temple itself, while we were there, that don't bring that man in here to the house, this sannyasi into the house. We never know these people, and we have got the result now, what he has done for that. Now, one more thing. If you go and fight with this man, Arjuna, and we know we can probably kill him also, that won't be a problem. But what will happen? Our sister Subhadra, she will be in trouble. Wouldn't she? What will happen to her? She is there married and gone. He has taken her, she has gone with him. We made one mistake by bringing him in to the palace. Now this will be the second mistake now. If we go there and fight with Arjuna, and if Arjuna gets killed in the battle, then what will happen to Subhadra? Will become a widow. Isn't it? So, who will Subhadra come and start crying to? He'll come to you and to me, crying to us, saying that, what have you done to my husband? They will say. So what are you going to do? So Balaram started thinking. And if Subhadra cries, you will have to carry that Subhadra's distress yourself. And Balaram is very attached to Subhadra. So Balaram could never think even in his heart, Subhadra's crying for any reason. So then Balaram says to Krishna, so Krishna, do you want this marriage to be like this? Krishna says, I didn't mind either way. If Krishna married, Arjuna wanted to marry Subhadra, I knew about this before. And I also knew that Subhadra wanted to marry Arjuna. Why should we stand in the middle of this, in these things? And in that case, Balaram said, we'll go and invite this newly married couple for a reception in Dwaraka. And they went to Indraprastham, inviting them to come to Dwaraka. They were both were invited. And for a big celebrations in Dwaraka, Subhadra's marriage. Shiva Brahmashi says to Parikshit at this time that only Parikshit can relish this marriage. The grandmother Subhadra was like this, and how she got married. Because it is his own grandmother, isn't it, Subhadra. And Parikshit heard the whole marriage with tears in his eyes, seeing how all these things have happened. But and if you want to hear about this marriage in detail, you should look into Mahabharata. All those things are not spoken, very briefly, few verses here, and left it like that. But Mahabharata will give you a very graphic description of this whole incidents, what happened in the in the marriage, how this marriage happened. So then after this particular pastime, everything engineered by Krishna, and remembering that Krishna's way of doing things, Parikshit was feeling that externally, internally, remembering about Krishna's kindness towards Subhadra and how Krishna arranged everything for Subhadra in that way, Parikshit was feeling that happiness inside. In this way, Krishna has protected all the members of the family. Will he not protect me now in my problem? This was going through Parikshit's mind. Automatically it will come like that. When you have such a tremendous attachment to Krishna, and when Krishna has shown his ability to protect others and look after the devotees in that way, Parikshit is thinking, Krishna has shown so much compassion to all the members of the family, will he not show the same thing to me? This was in Parikshit's heart. And there were in Videham, that is in the Mithila, there were two personalities there. One, the king himself there. And Shrutadeva, one Brahmana. Both of them were devotees. Shrutadeva, the Brahmana, and Bahulashva, the king. They are both devotees. And Bahulashva, and both of them were performing penances to have an opportunity to see Krishna. To see Krishna. What did Krishna do? Krishna decided to go to Mithila, go to both the places at the same time. Bahulashva and Shrutadeva. And there, Shukha Brahmarshi mentions this specifically that when Krishna went to these two places, to both places, same time, Krishna expanded himself into two bodies. In two different bodies, Krishna went to both the places. Krishna was accompanied by all the rishis. Vedavyasa Maharshi was there. The four Kumaras were there. Narada Maharshi was there. They were all on the chariot. So in both the chariots, they were there. Not only himself expanded, made everybody else also in two different bodies. Vedavyas, Sri Narada Maharshi, and Sananda, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara, all the four Kumaras as well. So in two chariots, going in two different directions in Mithila, to Bahulashva and to Shrutadeva. And Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here that I was also there with Krishna, he says, in both the chariots, he says. And so that's when Parikshit asked, which one is the genuine one? Which one is the original? Which is the duplicate? That's what he says. Shukha Brahmarshi says, I don't know. Myself, I don't know who it is, he said. So practically you can see, if Krishna wants to expand, as many times as he wants, he can expand. And at the same time, he can also make his devotees also to expand as many times as he wants. Aishwarya Siddhi. That's why Krishna is called Yogeshwareshwara, isn't it? Uddhava addresses Krishna as Yogeshwareshwara. Any number of times, Krishna can expand, Krishna can make the devotees also to expand. And that is all possible for Krishna to do. And this is also the opulence of Krishna, Krishna's opulence. Same time, Krishna blessed both the poor Brahmana, Shrutadeva, and the king Bahulashva. And Krishna is concerned, he has no difference at all. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or highly learned, or illiterate, or a king, or an ordinary person. This Vedabuddhi does not exist in Krishna. Krishna doesn't think like that about anybody. Wherever there is bhakti in the heart, Krishna looks at that. That's what Krishna looks at a person. If there is bhakti in the heart, there will be a response from Krishna. If there is bhakti in the heart, Krishna will respond to it, to the devotee. So, and if there is no bhakti in the heart, there will be no response from Krishna. No response from Krishna. Bhakti is given the importance in everything. So, if there is no bhakti in the heart, Krishna will look at the person, higher or lower, these kind of things will look at him. But nothing is spoken here about that. But therefore, because of this, one should not think, oh, I am a devotee, so I can do whatever I like and act in that way. That is not allowed. That is not allowed. Because whether you have bhakti to Krishna, whether you have bhakti towards Krishna or not, that decision is in Krishna's hands, not in our hands. Krishna has to make the decision whether somebody is Krishna's devotee or not. Only Krishna has got the right to decide whether somebody is a devotee or not. Nobody else. We don't have any right to decide about somebody else. Only Krishna has the right to decide. So, all these things are taught from these different pastimes. It is at that time, Parishit Maharaj asked this question, that this is about the Shuddha Gita, 87th chapter. So, most of the pastimes are finished now, and now Vedas personified, glorifying Krishna. Shuddha Gita is a very big topic. You can see the verses, 20-30 verses almost, very, very heavy verses. What is involved in that, to go by verse, it will take a very, very long time. We started this before and we stopped after a few verses, but we will continue that sometime later. At that time you can understand why Shuddha Gita is like the way it is in the Bhagavatam. Right? So what we'll do, we will just go through that in very briefly and then we'll go into the end of the 10th canto. Parikshit asked this question very briefly about Shuddha Gita. Upanishads talks about Brahma. Upanishads talks about Brahma. And that's a famous known thing, well-known thing. All Upanishads, the topic of discussion is Brahma. It's a well-known thing, isn't it? And that is not looking very logical, says Parikshit. Because Parikshit's point is, Brahma is Nirgunam. Nirgunam. There is no three modes of material nature in the Brahma. Isn't it? Three modes of material nature is not present in the Brahma. And Vedam discusses three modes of material nature. You know that. Vedam discusses three modes of material nature. Krishna also says this in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look at that verse, Traigunya Vishayo Vedam Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. There is a famous verse in the in the 3rd chapter or 18th chapter, I'm not sure. Traigunya Vishayo Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. You can see that. Thanks. Traigunya Vishayo Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. See? 245, yeah. Traigunya Vishayo Veda Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna Nirdvando Nitya Satvasto Niryoga Kshema Alpavan. Krishna is saying there that Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Mainly. Karmagandam is all based on the three modes of nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. To these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety and be established in the self. Nirdvando nitya sattvasto niryogam kshema alpavan. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdvando nitya sattvasto niryoga kshema alpavan. Niryoga kshema alpavan. So, you see the problem? Vedam discusses about the three modes of material nature. Brahmam is not under the modes of nature. Modes of nature is not present in the Brahma. Parikshit question is, this Vedam, which is discussing three modes of nature, how is it capable of explaining Brahmam? How is it capable of explaining Brahmam? And because Shruti, Vedam means Shruti, Shruti is generally with modes of nature. It does not mean that gunam dosham, you should not look at the way what we normally think gunam. For example, If you want to know about any particular object, say for example this mic, how would you present this mic to others? It has got a shape, it has got a color, it has got a material, and information like that about this, or a form, a name and a form, you have to explain about it to present this mic to somebody else, isn't it? If I want to talk about a mic to somebody, I have to say this, it has got this metal part and then you got this foam around top of it, there's an on-off switch, and when it is connected, wired it to the system, it will amplify the voice that comes through the mic. In this way, through words, you have to explain about anything. It's a very complicated subject. I haven't understood myself, to be honest with you, to read through it in the other commentaries about the where they bring in a lot of things, jaha lakshana, ajaha lakshana, jaha jaha lakshana, lot of things spoken in the commentaries. But to get into that to that extent will be very difficult. It is a complicated thing. How the, in Vedam and in the Upanishads, how these arguments are put forward. So, anyway, to present about any object, you need to know its color or its form or its name and its shape and everything. And only then you can express it through words. Through words. And Shruti, Vedam, is all words, isn't it? And here we have got Brahman, which is Nirgunam. No modes of nature is present in there. How Shruti can explain that through the words? Can explain that through the words. And practically what it means is that it means that the essence of Upanishads is what that is. The essence of Upanishads. And it is the essence of Upanishads that is what is spoken through that heavy verses, which will start from, you can see from the verse 14 onwards. It begins with 14 and it finishes at 41. 14 to 41. About 28 verses. This 28 verses is nothing but a very summary of the whole Upanishad's knowledge. Upanishad's knowledge. So, what's happening now is the answer to this question, that Brahman, which is Nirgunam, how can it be expressed or presented by Shruti, which is discussing the three modes of material nature? So, what they say, Shrutis don't talk about Brahman. Everything else, what is not Brahman, is spoken. And then what the Shruti says is, after discarding everything, what is not Brahman, what then remains is Brahman. That is where this famous Neti Neti comes. Not this, not this, not this. Isn't it? You know that famous Upanishad statement, not this. So, everything is said Neti Neti, not this, not this. And then, after discarding all that, what remains about which Upanishads don't speak about that, that thing is Brahma. This is all. So, that is Nirguna, beyond the three modes of material nature. When we say all these things, what have we understood? What did we understand from that, isn't it? That is why you will see there in that statement also, Swanubhavataya, Arupataya, Ananya Bhodalmagataya. In Brahma Stuti, you will notice these words used. If you look into Lord Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter, the 10th canto, Lord Brahma says about Brahman, Swanubhavataya, Arupataya, Ananya Bhodalmagataya. Lord Brahma is saying like that. That Ananya Bhodalmagataya, it is very difficult to express in words of a thing called experience inside. Remember this, that we all know this by now, that reality inside, which is awareness, from whom the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, and the rest of the world, the creation itself, is completely dependent on that awareness inside, is it not? When the awareness is inside, only then all these things exist. Is it not? World exists, mind exists, body exists, intelligence exists, ego exists, senses exist. Everything's existing only in that awareness inside. And it is very difficult to properly explain that to somebody, what that awareness is. So therefore, in Vedantam and in the Upanishads, the principle they have followed is, they discussed about vacant state in detail and told us the impact of body, impact of mind, impact of intelligence, impact of senses, and how they are all functioning in the presence of this awareness. Then Upanishads take us to the next state called the dream state. And in that dream state, you are dropping the body. All talking about is this awareness inside, and then the mind and the subtle body. What's happening in the dream state? The function or the activities of the dream body or the subtle body and the awareness together interacting each other is our dream state. And then they tell us that if you go into the deep sleep state, you're dropping your body, you're dropping your mind, you're dropping your intelligence, and you're dropping yourself, which means the ego. That is, we normally call it as ourselves at the moment. That's how we are identifying with. So, when you have dropped everything, then what remains there? That's that awareness. Is it not? So, this is how Upanishads try to tell us about the existence of the Brahman. Brahman's presence, isn't it? So, and it is impossible, as Brahma says there, so anubhavadaya. Only by your own experience you have to know about it. Arupadaya, it has no form either. Brahman has no form. Ananya bhodalpagadaya, that it is difficult to transmit this my awareness to somebody else. I have my awareness, you have your awareness. So, ananya bhodalpagadaya, that means it's impossible for me to make you experience about my awareness. You can't experience. You can only experience yourself. I can only experience myself. This is why that's important. So that is why Lord Brahma used very special words to express the presence of the awareness inside. Swanubhavadaya, Arupadaya, Ananya Bhodalpadaya. So everyone individually will experience that. For example, if you have performed the upasana or proper sadhana and followed the shastram properly in life, then you are meant to experience the effect of this Brahman realization. But you can't easily transfer it to somebody else. And just like they give this example, an old person, he is asking that it's a nice day today and I like to see the moon is present in the sky. I would like to see where the moon is, isn't it? Where is the moon? He is looking at the sky and trying to find the moon. One person looked, he couldn't see the moon. Nobody could find the moon. So another person came there. So this old man asked him, have you seen the moon in the sky today? So old man says, yes. Where is the moon? Show it to me, he said. Moon is in the sky and you are telling this person to show the moon to him. So the new person who had come, who has seen the moon, he says to him, I'll show you the moon, but don't look at the moon first. Look at that tree, he said. Told him to look at the tree. And when you look at the tree, can you see that particular branch going on another direction? And he showed another direction. And look at another branch going from that main branch. Showed it. Yes, I can see all that, he said. Look at the top of that branch. And from there, you look through that to the sky, you'll find the moon there. So, in this way, moon, when he looked at it, when he was shown in this particular way, the moon was there. The moon was present there. So, if you ask the question, is the moon on top of that branch of the tree? It is not. But there's no connection with the tree and the moon. But there's no connection with the tree and the moon. But when you look through that branch of the tree, you saw the moon. You saw the moon. Similarly, that is what Brahma is saying there. Swanubhavadaya ananya bhodalpadaya. That means through your own experience and through your own conviction that it is not possible to show it to somebody where to express to you, just another person, the presence of the soul. But you can do this way various other ways you can express about this awareness inside to others, and in this way convince them, but that person himself has to find that awareness within himself. Awareness within himself. That's all possible. And that is why it says here, Upanishad means upasamipe, that means Upanishad also, the word as it says, it will take you very closely to the truth, but it can't show you the truth. That's why it's called Upanishad. Upasamipe. It will bring you very close to the truth by explaining this way, but it cannot show you the truth. That you have to find it yourself, isn't it? That is why in that verse you will see that mentioned. One of the verses, Duryavagamam, 21st verse. Duryavagamam Almatattvam Nigamayatava Attatano Charidam Mahamradabdi Parivartam Parishramana. That verse. And this is what jnanis are trying to follow. You can see Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita the difficulty. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadbhira vapyate. Jnana margam's difficulty comes here. If you look at the 12th chapter, chapter 12, you will see this interesting verse there. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadbhira avapyate. 12th chapter 12, 5. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline, it's always difficult for those who are embodied. That means, as long as you have in this bodily identity, it is a little bit difficult to realize this Brahman because of the bodily identification. That is why first thing in spiritual life is to come out of the body. After that, we can talk about all other things. Bodily identification does cause a lot of problems. So that's what Krishna is also here saying, that this nirguna upasana, nirguna brahma upasana, that means nirguna brahman, accepting there is no form. It's not rejected in the Vedam, it's there, brahma upasana, nirguna brahma upasana. But nirguna brahma upasana is very, very difficult for those who whom dehavad biravapyade. That's the last line. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktam asakta chedasam avyaktahi gadir dukham dehavadbir avapyade. Nirgunam means that without any modes and nature present in the impersonal form, worship of that form and upasana and for pursuing that process is difficult, Krishna saying, for those who are very strongly caught up in the bodily concept of life. Like all of us. It is hard because of this strong identification with the body. That doesn't mean it is not bona fide. It is bona fide. And there are people who are following that also and who are making it a success as well. That is due to their previous lives, what has followed them in throughout their vasanas that has come from previous lives that they have cultivated. And they have gone very far in that direction. So you can never say that it is wrong. It is correct. But at the same time, for average people like, ordinary people like us, it will be very tiring process. Very tiring process. That is what he is saying there. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is, here is where the difference comes. Sagunam, Nirgunam. Sagunam means worship of the form and approaching the same truth through worship of a form, Krishna's form. So there are many people who follow this process of Nirguna Upasana. Nirguna Upasana. If you study the Shuddhi Gita very well, you will know the problems involved with Nirguna Upasana. As far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna says, Nirguna Upasana, Nirguna means without any modes of nature present. Srimad Bhagavatam is not touched by the modes of nature. Is not touched by modes of nature. The holy name is untouched by the modes of nature. Then, what else? Krishna says, Krishna's temple is free from the modes of nature. You will see in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna saying, Manniketam tu Nirgunam. There is a statement. Manniketam means Krishna's temple. He is supposed to be free from the three modes of material nature. So, temple is free from the modes of nature, and Srimad Bhagavatam is free from the modes of nature, and the holy name is free from the modes of nature. Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam. Similarly, transcendental pastimes, hearing about Krishna, is free from the modes of nature. Even Krishna says, prasadam is nirgunam. Prasadam is nirgunam. And while talking about the three modes of material nature, in the 11th canto, Krishna has told that you shouldn't be too concerned about it, because there are many things in these three modes of material nature which are not touched by the modes of nature. For example, the holy name, prasadam, bhagavatam, all the temple, all these things are not touched by the modes of nature. Tava aptatano. So, ordinary people, this Nirguna Brahma Upasana, or this worship of the impersonal absolute, is not possible. That is why, it is only for because of this reason that Brahman accepted different forms. For this reason, Brahman had to accept different forms. And so, different incarnations came. Ramachandra, Krishna, Vamana, Malsyam, Kormam, Varaham, all these things. So, if you worship any of those forms, which is Sagunam, that's called Sagunam, it is as good as worshipping the Nirguna form. Worshipping the Nirguna Brahma. Nirguna Brahma Vasana. Just like, what are these incarnations? Incarnations are, just like, when the water freezes, right, it becomes ice. Or it takes a form then. Water itself has no form. But when water freezes and it takes a form of ice form, ice boxes or something like you can see in the ice taking different forms and shapes, isn't it? But just because it has taken a form, it doesn't mean it's not water anymore. It is still water, isn't it? Only thing is it has got a form now. So, similarly, when Brahman takes a form, because Brahman wants to make a relationship with the Jiva, and has to have an opportunity for the Jiva to make a relationship with the truth, at that time, out of compassion, they take these different forms. That is how different incarnations come in the creation. And that is what is called Sagunam. Sagunam. Sagunam and Nirgunam, they are not actually different. They are one and the same. But in different conditions, you call them as Sagunam and Nirgunam. And the closest example is this. Water, when it is water, becomes no form. It has no form. It will go whichever way you pour the water. But when the water freezes and becomes, takes a particular shape of a ice cubicle or ice icicle forms. It takes different forms. So it has taken a form. Similarly, Brahman has no form. Brahman is formless. And that formless Brahman has to take some form for the conditioned souls to make a relationship with the Brahman. And that is how different incarnations have come. And that different incarnations are called Sagunam. Sagunam and Nirgunam, this is the basic difference. Just like water and the bubbles in the water, the waves in the water, all these things are not different. They are one and the same thing. Everything comes from the water. And eventually they all go back into water and dissolves in the water. So when it is a big wave in the ocean, or when it is a bubble in the ocean, or a foam in the ocean, in all different forms water is coming in front of us. Similarly, Brahman, which is Nirgunam, it takes in different forms and comes in front of us. And they are called incarnations. Different avatar, Malsyam. It can take any form it wants. Malsyam, Kormam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vaminam. And we have also seen before, major 10 incarnations exist. Then there are 24 incarnations spoken in the first canto, isn't it? And then to Mujugunda, Krishna says, there is millions and millions, I cannot even count how many incarnations have happened. So all incarnations are a product of this particular reason, that when they appear in form of spiritual masters, they appear in form of great personalities, like you can see Rishabhadev, Prithu Maharaj and all others. They are all incarnations of Krishna or Brahman, has taken a form and come in front of us. Indra is an incarnation of Vishnu. Is it not? All Indras are incarnations of Vishnu. So that is what it is telling us. So with that, you can understand a lot of things from that. But all we have to worry about is that to follow the route what Bhagavatam has shown to us. What is Bhagavatam saying to us? That don't worry about it too much. Sagunam, Nirgunam and all that, because it's beyond our capacity to understand. But serving Krishna without any material desire and engage in the different spiritual activities mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that itself is Nirgunam, Krishna is saying there. So that that's also Nirguna Upasana, Nirguna Brahma Upasana. And in the age of Kali, this Upasana alone is easier to execute. So, therefore, we have to give more importance to Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's instructions, direct instructions, and direct instructions of different incarnations also. In Bhagavatam, you will find all this. Krishna is directly instructing to Uddhava, and Krishna is instructing through different rishis. Sri Narada Maharshi instructing to Prahlada, and Krishna is instructing to us through the devotees like Prahlada, Dhruva. That is all the stutis. All the stutis are instructions to us. All the stutis are instructions to us for our benefit. Sometimes Krishna instructs directly, like he did to Uddhava. Sometimes he instructs us through the devotees, like Jadabharata, like Rishabhadev. Yanis, yogis, devotees, all of them. Krishna uses everybody. For example, Jadabharata is a Yani. Rishabhadev is a Yani. Through them also Krishna is instructing to us. Similarly, Krishna is instructing to us through the devotees, like the gopis, and like the devotees like Dromaraj, Prahlada, and many others, through Parikshit, Shiva Brahmarshi and all that. So, the important thing to know in Srimad Bhagavatam is this. Sri Bhagavatam, if you properly read it every day, you will start realizing that Bhagavatam is saying to us a lot of things, and you have to accept this based on the situations where we are in today. For example, that you will notice in Bhagavatam, there's not a lot spoken about deity worship. Have you noticed that? In Bhagavatam, if you have studied Bhagavatam properly, you'll find there's not much spoken about deity worship. There's only one chapter in the 11th canto, 27th chapter, which is called Kriya Yogam. That's the only where deity worship is spoken. Whereas, there are so many places spoken about sacrifices. Is it not? Rajasvayam, Ashwamedham, and many other sacrifices spoken. All these kings, Yudhishthira, Prajina Varhis, and Parishit, all of them were performing sacrifices more than doing the deity worship. Is it not? You can see Bhagavatam, if you take the Bhagavatam overall and analyze it, you will see this, that there is more importance given to sacrifices than in the deity worship. Then again, if you look at Bhagavatam carefully, you will find
Krishna has given more importance to satsangam than more than the sacrifices. That also you will observe. But you have to read it a lot. Then you will notice these things. Why is it like that? Krishna's point is that at different times, what will do good to people is different, because depending on the capacity of the people to and their state of life in this world, you have to take that also into account. That is why. That when the kings rule, like for example when Yudhishthira was ruling and other great personalities, they were ruling this planet. At that time, the people were more tuned into sacrifices. They had the capacity to accept all the big sacrifices, and they were qualified people, qualified ingredients necessary for that. You can imagine it, Rajasuyam, how many months and almost year and a half it lasted. And Krishna and Yudhishthira were organizing the whole thing. And Prajina Brahis, Puranjanobhakyam we can read. Prajina Brahis was known for his performing sacrifices. So, if you carefully analyze Bhagavatam, you will notice deity worship is not spoken a lot. Very little spoken about deity worship. Only one chapter, and the 27th chapter on the 11th canto, Kriya Yoga. Otherwise, there is more spoken about sacrifices in the Bhagavatam. How many times Prithu Maharaj performed? 99 Ashwamedham he has performed. It is only 100th Ashwamedham Indra came and stole the horses, isn't it? So, Prithu performed 100. How many Mahabali performed? 100. Ekona Shatakratu, the title. 99 means Ekona Shatakratu. Only at that time that Indra could not bear that as well. Mahabali performing so many sacrifices. So it looks that from this, that at that particular time in history, performing sacrifices was considered to be the process of pleasing Krishna. Self-realization was through that process. But again, if you look at Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice more than the sacrifices, in the direct instructions from Krishna and from all the Krishna's devotees and incarnations, stress is on satsangam. That also you can see. Provided you have to put it together all and analyze it. Don't take one verse and start seeing what that particular verse is saying. The general conclusion after going through the Bhagavatam, you will start seeing these important conclusions from that. So therefore, conclusion here in the Bhagavatam is, take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, chant the holy name seriously, and in that way, in the satsangam, you will make progress in spiritual path. This is Krishna's conclusions in the Bhagavatam. So that's why you can see here that Tasmal Sarvatmana Rajan, if you look into the second canto. First canto finished with the same question, isn't it? First canto finished with this. Yat shrodavyam bhajat shrodavyam atho japyam. That is in the 38th verse in the 19th chapter, first canto. Yat shrodavyam atho japyam yat kartavyam nirvi prabho smartavyam bhajaniyam bruhi adva viparyayam. And in answer to that, how did Shuka Brahmarshi begins? He says to them that if you look at the first chapter in the second canto, fifth verse, Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadabhayam. Three things he says there. What are they? Shrodavyaha, Kirtidavyaha, Smartavyaha. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Three important things he mentions there. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Tasmal Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shraudavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadabhayam. Isn't it? So out of these three things, which is the important one? No. Smaranam is the goal. You are having Shravanam for what purpose? For Smaranam. You are having Kirtanam for what purpose? For Smaranam.
If you say everything, everybody will say Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarana. One of them will be right, isn't it? It's not like that. There is a reason. In the school, when the teachers are teaching, multiple choice questions they have, isn't it? So there will be four or five options. So when he asks a question, which is the correct answer, all the children will say one or the other. So one will get right. It's not like that, this one. Here there is a reason behind it. Shravanam and Kirtanam is for the sake of Smaranam. So the final goal of everything is Smaranam, able to remember Krishna. That Smaranam is not the Smaranam remembering the form. That also misunderstanding should go from inside. People have all this misunderstanding. Oh, I couldn't remember about Krishna. Sometimes people say, remember what? What are you remembering, trying to remember the form? Form is not the goal. This Smaranam is an important principle. We have to talk through that in a detailed way. Because why? I'll tell you that. In Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna say to us? That at the time of death, if you can remember me, Andhakaleja Mameva Smarantektua Kalebaram Ya Prayadi Samad Bhavam Yadi Nastyatra Samshaya Yamyam Vavi Smaran Bhavam Tejatyande Kalebaram Tamtham Evedi Kaunteya Sada Tadbhava Bhavida. There are two verses. And general understanding among the devotees about that verse is, if somehow or the other, if I can fold a photo in front of you when the soul is leaving the body, you look at this photo and then you will go back home, back to Godhead. Or if I can somehow or the other remember Krishna. Devotees will always say this, isn't it? But have you noticed in that verse, Krishna is saying, Yam Yam Vapi Smaran Bhavam, he says. Why did he use that word Bhavam there? There is a reason behind it. When you analyze the Shastram, when you study these verses, you have to be extremely careful and you have to discuss this with people who have a proper understanding of all these things instead of developing some false understanding in the head about it. That is why this Smarana, Yamambhavi Smaran Bhavam, is an important thing. That if it was, you can immediately ask this question. Anybody will, with common sense, will ask this question. Is the life so simple that just at the time of death I can remember Krishna and I'll be taken to the spiritual world? If a whole lifetime I have done something terribly bad or certain unforgivable things, but somehow or the other, by luck, if I remembered Krishna at that time of death, I go back to Krishna? No. That is not what it means. That's why this word Smarana, or what Krishna says, Smaran Bhavam, is different than the word normal remembering. Remembering is Smarana. If you translate into English, it is remembrance, isn't it? Like you have Remembrance Day. In the similar, it's a remembering thing. It's not remembrance. Smarana is different than remembering. Smarana means actually the knowledge of the self. That's where it is coming from. It has its own roots in that word. That means if there is knowledge of awareness of the self at the time of death, then you go back to the, you don't come back again, you don't take another body. That is how you have to understand that verse. You will understand because you have to connect that verse with the verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is saying, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. Krishna who says this, Yam Yam Vavi Smaran Bhavam, later, in the 10th chapter, is saying in the 2nd chapter, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha, the last verse in the 2nd chapter. So, Krishna has told that Brahmi Sthiti is this Smarana. Do you understand? You have to bring these two together, otherwise one will contradict the other. How can you justify Bhagavad Gita then? Bhagavad Gita, when you have to discuss these verses, you have to know how you are relating with another verse as well. So here you can see, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Stitvasyam Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvanam Ruchati. This is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. If one is thus situated even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So this Brahmi Sthiti and this Smarana is not different. If you are in that Brahmi sthiti, you have the smarana. If you don't have the Brahmi sthiti, smarana is not accepted. That is not smarana. Do you understand the point? That when we make these statements, we have to be very careful that the subtle side of this, that Bhagavad Gita's verses are, you have to be connect that with the Bhagavatam as well and see what Krishna is saying there. So here what happened now? In that second chapter, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, beginning in the first chapter itself, that Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadabhayam. And if you go further, in the same chapter, at the end, it is not there in that chapter, but later on, you will say the same thing. Yeah. If you look into the second chapter, the 36th, last but one, that verse. Tasmal sarvaatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrodavya kirtidavyascha smartavyo bhagavan mranam. So, this, there is nothing different than what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying there, this smarana must come. Krishna used in the second chapter the word Brahmi sthiti. Krishna used in the 9th chapter smaran bhava. Shukra Brahmarshi uses the word smartavya. And he again says the same thing. Shrodavya kirtidavyascha smartavya bhagavan mranam. So, till we come to that state, this Atma inside has to come back. It is that is in that connection only. He is explaining there in the first and second chapters, Sadhya Mukti, Krama Mukti, which I mentioned yesterday. So we'll have a short break now.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Small man, Bhava, in terms of the self within.
To properly understand this, you know that everywhere in the Bhagavatam there is reference to Antaryami. If you have understood this Antaryami principle properly, what does Antaryami doing? Antaryami is operating through this body, each and every one of us, is it not? So, if you have come to this understanding all the time, you are able to reconcile with this fact, that Antaryami is functioning through this body. That means when some thoughts are coming to you, you are able to immediately recognize Antaryami functioning inside. When you are using your 10 senses, 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action, when they are operating in this world, immediately what you should notice it, Antaryami is functioning, doing it, because he is the personality who is close to us more than anybody else, situated within the heart. It is he who is making the decision, not you. If you are in that awareness, if you are staying, that is smarana. That is proper smarana. That means smarana of Antaryami inside. This Antaryami principle is given the topmost importance in Bhagavatam, not anything else. Form worship and even sacrifices and all is given a lesser importance to. But Antaryami principle is more important. We will talk about it later when we come to second canto.
Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamahada vadni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purna amradaswadhanam Sarvapna Svapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sangeptanam Abhamagari Bahuda Dija Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Nimida Smaralena Kala Eka Krishita Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaiva Midrashamiha Jani Nanuragaham Trinarabhi Shuni Jena Tarorabhi Sahishnuna Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari Madhanam najanam nasundarim kavidam vajagadishakamaye Mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadad bhaktirahai togitvai Nandadanu jagingaram padidam hamshami bhavam budau Purbayatava padapanga jastidaguli sadrasham vichindaya Nayanam galada shodharaya Vadanam gargadarudhaya gira
पुलगर्निजिदं कदावो तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायिदं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायिदं शून्यायिदं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्द विरहे नमे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदं विनष्टुमाम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधा तुलं वडो मल्प्राणनाथास्तु न
So, the Shruti Gita chapter, the intention was that to convince us that holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things are nirgunam. They are not sagunam. They are not touched by the modes of material nature. So, finally, what is Shukha Brahma Shri saying there? In Shruti Gita is that Krishna's holy name is important. Is important. And Upanishad is also a witness to all these things. So, keeping Upanishads as a witness to everything with this chapter, 87th chapter, that to tell us, Shukha Brahma Shri said to us, that there is nothing higher than Bhagavatam. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name. With that it finishes there. With that it finishes there. Now we will have to read 88 and 89. There's three more chapters in the 10th canto. 88, 89 and 90. But prior to that, about Subhadra. Who is Subhadra? Isn't it? That's always a question. Many people have asked this. Who is actually Subhadra? The Subhadra's history in Mahabharatam is a famous major part in Mahabharatam, it is Subhadra Haranam. But because problem is, Mahabharatam has different editions, and different editions there's differences in the way it is spoken about it. For example, it says Vasudev's daughter Subhadra, but doesn't very clearly say who is the mother in the Bhagavatam. If you look into Bhagavatam, it doesn't say very clearly who is Subhadra's mother. It says who is daughter of Vasudev. Subhadra is daughter of Vasudev. Ashtamastu tayo rasit swayameva harikila Subhadraja mahabhaga tavarajan pidamahi. Ninth canto, you will see this. Ninth canto, 24th chapter, 55th verse. That you can say from that word Tayo, that's probably it's referring to Devaki, but doesn't say Devaki's name there. 9:24:55. Ashtamastu Tayo Rasi Mahasoyameva Hari Kila Subhadraja Mahabhaga Tavarajan Pidamahi. So then in some places it says that Subhadra is Rohini's daughter. There's also that opinion about that. But Devaki used to love Subhadra just like her own daughter. That's the way he brought her up. In Skanda Puranam, Subhadra is mentioned as Suprabha, her daughter. Suprabha's daughter is Subhadra. In Skanda Puranam it mentions. Brahma Puranam says, Rohini had a daughter by name Chitra, and she became famous as Subhadra. So like this, there is variations in different Puranas about Subhadra's Chitra nama kumarija rohini tanaya nava Chitra Subhadra vikhyado Idi punar vikhyada munisattama Brahma Puranam. Skanda Puranam says Subhadra was the daughter of another wife of Vasudev who is called Suprabha. Another wife from Vasudev called Suprabha. It was her daughter is Subhadra. And there is also mentions about that that by birth Subhadra had a horse face, horse-like face. She grew up like that. At the time of marriage, everyone was unhappy about it, that she didn't look very good in the face. So Krishna took with Balram and Subhadra, all three of them went to Hatakeshwara temple, and Subhadra performed intense penances there. Brahma appeared there, and Brahma gave the benediction that this Ashwamukham, the horse-like face, will change, and she'll become very beautiful, and she will give birth to a child who will become very highly qualified and famous personality. Tathanya Rohini nama bhairya tasya ya bhava tasyam jatne hali nama balabhadra pradavavan tridiya suprabha nama vasudeva priyachaya tasyam sa madhavi jatne ashyavaktra suryubhadrak. And in this way, Mahabharatam, Subhadra's mother is Rohini. Rohini. So, in the this story that Arjuna's Tirthyatra, Arjuna's pilgrimage, and taking sannyasam and all, in some version of the Mahabharatam, you see that also. Also. So, after Subhadra was, Subhadra married Arjuna, she drove the chariot all the way to Indraprastham from Dwaraka. That is well known. Subhadra yadu vijnyapta puromeya dhananjaya rashmi pragrahane partha namese sadrasho bhavi tasmat sa purom arukhya rashmim jagraha mathavi. Then, that's all about Subhadra mentions here. And then we saw the 86th chapter. And then the Shruti Gita after that. 87th is all Shruti Gita. This Shruti Gita, Sridharacharya Swamiji has written a very famous commentary on that. So you can see, if you look into Krishna book, what Prabhupada has done about Shruti Gita, he simply translated what Sridhara Swami has written into English. He didn't say anything on his own, just translated the commentary by Sridhara Swami into English. So that is how, because of the complex nature of this Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita is very complicated. And there, but Sridhara Swami made it in a such a way that it is accessible to ordinary people, normal people, who cannot think in the way that the Upanishads have spoken about it. So all that is about Shruti Gita. And that's why Shruti Gita became famous through Sridhara Swami's commentary. So you will see in some of the Bhagavatam editions, every verse in the Bhagavatam, Shruti Gita, right below that, Sridhara Swami's verse in the Bhagavatam will be given. For example, you can see that beginning with that first verse itself, you will see Sridhara Swami's commentary is easily a lot easier to understand, but other things is very hard. The verse is very hard. If you look at the verse 14 in the 87th chapter, Sridhara Swami's commentary is also there. That Jai Jaya Ida Jahyaga Jangama Vridima Jam Upani Idam Risha Gunam Nahi Bhavanda Mrade Bhavanda Me Nikamagita Gunar Navata Tava. That is Sridhara Swami's commentary. Like that. The rest of the 28 verses, yes, commented in that way. Now we'll go into the chapter 88 and 89. We'll read that, and then a summary of those things. Let's look at that. Ashtashititamodhyayaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Rajo Vacham Devasra Manusheshu Ye Bhajandya Shivam Shivam Prayaste Dhanino Bhoja Nadulakshmiapatim Harim Edadvedidvichama Sandehotramahan Hina Virudhashilayo Prabhor Virudha Bhajadam Gadi Shri Shukavajam Shiva Shakti Yuktam Shakti Yuda Shashwat Tringo Gunasambrada Vaigariga Stajasascha Tamasaschetyaham Trita Tato Vigaro Abhavan Shodasham Yishukanchana Upadhavan Vibhudinam Sarvasam Ashnude Gatim Harirhi Nirguna Sashal Purusha Prakrade Para Sa Sarvadrugubadrashta Tam Bhajan Nirguno Bhaved నివృత్తేషు అశ్వమేధేషు రాజా యుష్మత్ పితామహ శృణ్వన్ భగవదో ధర్మం అపృచ్ఛదిదమచ్యుదం స ఆహ భగవాంస్తస్మై ప్రీత శుశ్రూషవే ప్రభు నృణాం నిశ్రేయసార్థాయ యో అవతీర్ణయదో కులే. శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాజ యస్యాహం అనుగృహ్ణామి హరిష్యే తద్ధనం శనై తదోధనం త్యజన్ దస్యా స్వజనాల్ దుఃఖ దుఃఖిదం స యథా వితదోద్యోగో నిర్విణ్ణ స్యాద్ ధనే హయా మల్పరే కృతమత్రయస్య కరిష్యే మదనుగ్రహం తల్బ్రహ్మ పరమం సూక్ష్మం చిన్మాత్రం సదనందగం అతో మాం సుదురారాధ్యం హిత్వాన్యాన్ భజదే జన. తతస్తు ఆశుతోషేభ్యో లబ్ధరాజ్యశ్రీయోద్ధదా మత్తా ప్రమత్తా వరదాన్ విస్మరంత్యవ జానతే. శ్రీశుకోవాచ శివ శాప ప్రసాదయోరీష బ్రహ్మం విష్ణు శివ ఆదయ సద్య శాప ప్రసాదోంగ శివో భ్రమానజాచ్యుద అత్ర చోదాహరణీమాతిహాసం పురాతనం మృగాసురాయ గిరిశోవరం దత్వాపసంకటం వృగో నామాసురపుత్ర శకుని పథి నారదం దృష్టు ఆశుతోషం పప్రచ దేవేషు త్రిషు దుర్మది స ఆహదేవం గిరిశం ఉపదావాశు సిద్ధ్యసి యో అల్పాభ్యాం గుణదోషాభ్యాం ఆశుతుష్యతి కుప్యతి దశాస్యా బాణయోస్తుష్టా స్తువదోర్వందినో ఇవ ఐశ్వర్యమదలం దత్వా తద ఆవా సుసంగణం ఇత్యాదిష్టస్తమసుర ఉపాదావ సుగాత్రద కేదారం అల్పక్రవ్యేణ జుహ్వానోగ్నిముఖం హరం దేవోపలబ్ధిమప్రాప్యం నిర్వేదాల్ సప్తమేహని శిరో వృశ్చలసదిన తత్తీర్థక్లినమూర్ధజం తదా మహాకారుణిక సదుర్జడి యథావయం చాగ్నిరివోతిదో నలా నిగృహ్యదోభ్యాం విజయోర్నివారయన్ తల్స్పర్శనాద్ భూయ ఉపస్కృతాకృతి తమాహజాంగాలమలం వృణీష్మే యథాభిగామం విదరాదిమే విదరామి దేవరం ప్రియేదోయేన మృణాం ప్రపద్యత అహో త్వయాత్మా భృశమర్ధ్యదే వృథా. దేవం సమవ్రే పాపీయన్వరం భూతమయావహం యశేశకరం శీర్ష్ణీదాస్య సంవ్రేణామది తచ్చుత్వా భగవాన్ రుద్రో దుర్మనామ్యో భారత ఓమిది ప్రహసంస్తస్మై దదే హేరమదం యథా ఇత్యుక్త సోసురో నూనం గౌరీహరణలాలసా సదద్వర పరీక్షార్థం శంభో మోధిగిలాసుర స్వహస్తం దాదుమారేభి సోభిభ్యను స్వాగృదా శివ తేనోపసృష్టా సంత్రస్తా పరాధావత్సవే పదు యావదందం దివో భూమే కాష్టానాముదగాదుదక్ అజానంద ప్రతివిధిం తుష్ణీమాసన్ సురేశ్వర తదో వైగుండమగద్భాస్వం భాస్వరం తదో వైగుండమగమద్భాస్వరం తమస పరం యత్ర నారాయణ సాక్షాల్యాసినాం పరమాగతి శాంతానాం న్యస్తదండానాం యదో నావర్తతే గదా తం తథా విసరం దృష్ట్వా భగవాన్ విజినార్దన దూరా ప్రత్యదియాద్ భూత్వా వటుకో యోగమాయయ మేఘరాజన దండాక్షేర్స్తేజస్నా అగ్నిరివజ్వలన్ అభివాదయామాస చ తం కుశవాణిర్వినీతవ శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాచ శాగునేయ భవాన్ వ్యక్తం శ్రాంతకిం దూరమాగద క్షణం విశ్రమ్యదాం పుంస ఆత్మాయం సర్వకామదృక్ ఏదిన శ్రవణాయాలం యుష్మద్వ్యసితం విభో ధన్యదాం ప్రాయశ పుంభిర్ద్రదే స్వార్థాన్ సమీహదే. శ్రీశోవాచ ఏవం భగవదా పృష్టో వజసామదవర్షిణ గదక్రమోబ్రవీ తస్మై యథా పూర్వమనిష్ఠితం. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ ఏవం చేతర్హి తద్వాక్యం న వయం శ్రద్ధీమహి యో దక్షశాబాల్పైశాచ్యం ప్రాప్త ప్రయభిషాచరాల్. యది వస్త్రత్వ విశ్రంభో దానవేంద్ర జగల్గురో తర్హ్యంగాశు స్వశిరసి హస్తం న్యస్య ప్రదీయతాం యద్య సత్యం వజశంభో కదంజల్ దానవర్షభ తదైనం జశసద్వాచం నయద్వక్తానృదం పునా ఇత్థం భగవశ్చిత్రైర్వచోభి ససుపేశలై భిన్నదీర్విస్ప్రదశీర్ష్ణి స్వహస్తం కుమతిర్వ్యథాత్ అథాపదద్భిన్నశిరా వజ్రాహతమివక్షణ జయ శబ్దో నమః శబ్ద సాధుశబ్దో భవద్దివి. ముముచో పుష్పవర్షాణి హదే పాపే మృగాసురే దేవర్షి పితృగంధర్వ మోచిత సంగడా శివ ముక్తం గిరిశమభ్యాహ భగవాన్ పురుషోత్తమ అహో దేవ మహాదేవ వాపోయం స్వేన వాప్మన హదకో నిర్హల్స్విష జంతుర్వై కృతగిల్బిష క్షేమి స్యాల్ కిము విశ్వేషే కృదాగస్కోజగిల్బిరో ఏవం అవ్యాగ్రశక్తి ధన్వద పరస్య సాక్షాత్ పరమాల్మనో హరే. గిరిత్రమోక్షం కదయ శృణోతి వా విముచ్యతే సంస్మృతి విస్తధారిభి. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పారమహంస్యాం సంవిధాయం దశమస్కందే ఉత్తరార్ధే రుద్రమోక్షణం నామ అష్టాశీతితమోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. एकोनवतितमोऽध्याय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुकुवाजाम् सरस्वत्यास्तडे राजम् क्षयस्तत्रमासदा विदर्कसमभूत् तेषाम् त्रिष्वदीशेषु गो महान् तस्य ज्ञास्या देवैभृगम् ब्रह्मसुतम् नृपा तज्ञप्यै प्रशयमासो सोऽभ्यगा ब्रह्मणासभाम् न तस्मै प्रगुणम् स्तोत्रम् चक्रे सत्त्वपरीक्षया तस्मै शुक्रोऽथ भगवान् प्रज्वलन् स्वेन तेजसा स आत्मन्युत्थितमन्यु आत्मजायात्मने प्रभु अशेषमध्यदावनीम् स्वयोन्यावारिणात्मभू तत कैलासमगवल्सदम् देवो महेश्वर परिरब्धुम् समारेवे उत्थाय ब्रादरम् मुदा न इच्छत्वमस्युत्पदग इति देवशुकोपः शूरमुद्यम्यदम् महन्तुमारिवे तिग्मलोचनाम् पतित्वा पादयोर्देवी सान्द्वयामासदम् किन अथो जगामवैकुण्ठम् यत्र देवो जनार्दनाम् शयानम् श्रेमुल्सङ्गे पदा वक्षस्य दाडयल् तद उत्थाय भगवान् सह लक्ष्म्यासदाम् गतिम् स्वतल्पादवरुध्यादा नाम शिरसा मुनिम् अहदे स्वागतम् ब्रह्मन् निषीदात्रासने क्षणम् अजानदामागदान् मक्षन्तुमर्हत न प्रभो अतीव कोमलोतादाचरणौ ते महामुने इत्युक्त्वा विप्रचरणो मर्दयन् स्वेन बाणिनाम् पुनीः सह लोकम् माम् लोकबालांश्चमल्गदान् पादोदगेन भवदस्तीर्थानाम् तीर्थकारिणाम् अद्याहम् भगवम् लक्ष्या समेकान्तभाजनम् वल्सत्रस्य मे भूतिर्भवत्पाद हताम् हसा श्रीशुभवाचाम् एवम् ब्रुवाणे वैकुण्ठे भृगुस्थन्मन्द्रे आगिरा नृपदस्तर्पितस्तूष्णीम् भक्तुर्कण्डोश्वलोचन पुनश्च सत्रमाव्रजमुनीनाम् ब्रह्मवादिनाम् स्वानुभूतमशेषेण राजनम् भृगुदवर्णयत् तन्निशम् यादमुनयो विस्मिता मुक्त संशय भूयाम् संशब्दुर्विष्णुम् यदा शान्तिरिदो भयम् धर्मसाक्षाद्यतो ज्ञानम् वैराग्यम् च तदन्विदम् ऐश्वर्यम् चाष्टदा यस्मात् यशश्चात्मवलामहम् मलावहम् मुनीनाम् न्यस्तदण्डानाम् शान्तानाम् समजेतसाम् अकिञ्चनानाम् साधूनाम् इमाहु परमाम् गति सत्त्वम् यस्य प्रियामूर्ति ब्राह्मणास्तिष्ठदेवता भजन्ति नाशिषा शान्तायम् वादिपुणबुद्धया त्रिविधा कृतयस्तस्य राक्षसामासुरासुरा गुणिनियमाया सृष्टा सत्त्वम् सत्तीर्थसाधनम् श्रीशुकुवाच एवम् सारस्वताभिप्रान्तनाम् संशयनुत्तमे पुरुषस्य पदाम्बोजसेवया तद्गतिम् गदा श्रीसूतवाच इत्येतन्मुनितनयास्य पद्मगन्धम् पीयूषम् भवभयवे परस्य पुंसा सुश्लोकम् श्रवणपुटे पिबत्यभीष्णम् पान्तोऽध्वभ्रमणपरिश्रमम् जहादि श्रीशुकुवाच एकत्वाद्वारवत्याम् तु विप्रवत्न्या कुमारगा जातमात्रो भुवम् स्पृष्ट्वा ममार किल भारत विप्रो गृहीत्वा मृगम् राजद्वारिपदाय सा इदम् प्रवाच बलवन्ना दुरोदीनमानसा ब्रह्मद्विषशाटदीयो लुब्धस्य विषयाल्पना क्षत्रबन्धो कर्मदोषाल्पञ्जत्वम् एकदोर्भग हिंसा विहारम् नृपदम् दुःशीलम् अजितेन्द्रियम् प्रजा भजन्त सीदन्ती दरिद्रा नित्य दुःखिता एवम् द्वितीयम् विप्रक्षेत्रदीयम् स्वयमेव च विसृज्य स नृपद्वारिताम् गाथाम् समगायत तमर्थामर्जुनोपश्रुत्य क्रहिजल् केशवान्दिके परे तेनोमे बाले ब्राह्मणम् समभाषद किम् सुब्रह्मस्वन्निवासे नास्ति धनुर्धरा राजन्यबन्धुरेदेनो हि ब्राह्मणा यत्र मासते धनधारात्मजा पृक्ता यत्र शोनन्ति ब्राह्मणा ते वै राजनिवेशेन नरा जीवन्ति सुम्भरा अहम् प्रजाम् माम् भगवन् रक्षिषे दीनयोरिह अनिस्तीर्ण प्रयुज्ञोऽज्ञम् प्रवेक्षे हतकल्मष ब्राह्मण उवाच सङ्घर्षणो वासुदेव प्रद्युम्नोदनीनाम् वरा अनिरुद्धो प्रतिरुदो नत्रादम् शक्नुवन्ति यत् कल्कलम् नु भवान् कर्म दुष्करम् जगदीश्वरे चिकीर्षसि त्वम् बालिशान्ति अन्न श्रद्धद्महे वयम् अर्जुनोवाच नाहम् सङ्घर्षणो ब्रह्मन्न कृष्णकाश्यरेव च अहम् वा अर्जुनो नामाकाण्डीवम् यस्य धनु मा वमंस्ता मम ब्रह्म वीर्यत्रम् बलदोषणम् मृत्युम् विचिन्त्य पदने आनेष्येदे प्रजाम् प्रभो एवम् विश्रम्भो विप्रभाल्गुणेन वरम् तवा जगामासुगृहम् वीद पार्थवीर्यम् निशामयन् प्रसूतिकालमासने भार्याया निजसतम पाहि पाहि प्रजाम् मृत्यो इत्याह अर्जुनमाधुरा स उपस्पृश्य शुच्यम्बो नमस्कृत्य महेश्वरम् दिव्यान्यस्त्राणि संस्मृत्य सज्यम् गाण्डीवमाददे निरुणल्सुदिगागारम् शयमानास्त्रयोजिते तिरेवूर्ध्वमद प्रार्थ शकारशरभञ्जनम् तद कुमार सञ्जाम विप्रवृत्यारुदन्मुहो सद्यो दर्शनमाभेदे स शरीरो विहाय स तदाह विप्र विजयमिनिन्दन् कृष्णसन्निधौ मौढ्यम् पशेदमेयोऽहम् श्रद्धते क्लीपकथनम् न प्रद्युम्नो नानिरुद्धो न रामो न जगेश वा यस्य शोकपरित्रादम् कोऽन्यस्तद विदेश्वर दिगर्जुनम् मृषावादम् दिगाल्पशाखिनो दनु दैवावसिष्टम् यो मौढ्य दानिनि ईषति दुर्मदि एवम् शदि प्रशो विद्यामास्ताय फल्गुना ययौ संयमनीमाशु यत्रास्ते भगवान् यमा विप्रावत्य अजक्षण अजक्षास्तद वैद्रीमगाल्पुरीम् आग्नेयीम् नैरुदीम् सौम्यम् वायव्यम् अरुणीमधा रसादलम् नागपृष्टम् दिष्ण्यान्यन्यान्युधायुधा ततो अलब्धम् द्विजसो अनिस्तीर्ण प्रदेशु अग्निम् विवक्षु कृष्णेन प्रत्युक्त प्रदेशे तदा दर्शये द्विजसूनम् स्ते मावज्ञात्मानमात्मना एतेन कीर्तिम् विवरा मनुष्या स्थापयिष्यन्ति इति सम्भाष्य भगवान् अर्जुनेन सहेश्वर दिव्यम् सुरसमास्ताय प्रतीचिम् दिशमाविशल् സപ്തദീപാൻ സപ്തസിന്ധം സപ്തസപ്തഗിരി നഥാ ലോകാലോകം തഥാദിത്യവേശസ്മഹത്തമ തത്രാശ്വാ ശൈബസുഗ്രീവ മേഘ പുഷ്പവലാഹക തമസീ ഭ്രഷ്ടകലയോ ബഭൂർഭരദർഷഭ താൻ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണോ മഹായോഗേശ്വരേശ്വര സഹസ്രാദിത്യ സങ്കാശം സ്വചക്രം പ്രാഹിണോൽപുര തമസ്സു ഘോരം ഗഹനം കൃതം മഹദ്ദ്വാരയദ്ഭൂരിതരേണ രുചിഷ മനോജവം നിർവിവേശ സുദർശനം ഗുണച്ഛിതോ രാമശിരോ യഥാചമോ ദ്വാരേണ ചക്രാനുപതേന ദത്തമാ പരമ്പരം ജ്യോതിരനന്തമാനം സമശ്നുവാനം പ്രസമീക്ഷ ഫാൽഗുനം പ്രതാടിതാക്ഷോപിതദേക്ഷിണി ഉഭേ തദപ്രവിഷ്ടസലിനം നപസ്വത ബലിയസേർജദ്ബൃഹദൂർമിഭൂഷണം തത്രാത്ഭുതം വൈഭവനം ദ്യുമത്തമം വ്രാജന്മണിസ്തംഭസഹസ്രശോഭിതം തസ്മിൻ മഹാഭീമാനന്ദമത്ഭുതം സഹസ്രമൂർധന്യഭണാമണിദ്യുപി വിഭ്രാജമാനം ദ്വിഗുണോൽപണേക്ഷണം സിതാചലാപം ശ്രീകണ്ഠജിഹ്വം ദദർശദ്ഭോഗസുവാസനം വിപം മഹാനുഭാവം പുരുഷോത്തമോത്തമം സാന്ദ്രാംബുദാഭം സുഭിഷംഗവാസ സംപ്രസന്നമത്രം രുചിരായ ദക്ഷണം മഹാമണി വ്രാതകിരീടകുണ്ടലം പ്രതാപരിഷിപ്തസഹസ്രകുന്ദനം പ്രളംബജാവ അഷ്ടഭുജം സഹൗസ്തുഭം ശ്രീവത്സലക്ഷ്മ മനോമാലയാവൃതം സുനന്ദ പ്രമേയ സുഭാഷരേ ചക്രാധിപമൂർത്തരേ ധരേർനിജായുധൈ പുഷ്ട്യാശ്രയാകൃത്യജയാഖിലർദ്ധിഭി നിഷേവ്യമാനം പരമേഷ്ടിനാമ്പതിം ഭവന്ത ആത്മാനമനന്ദമച്യുതോ ജിഷ്ണുശ്ച തദ്ദർശന ജാതസാധ്വസ താവാഹ ഭൂമാ പരമേഷ്ടിനാം പ്രഭു ബദ്ധാഞ്ജലി സസ്മിതമൂർജയാഗിന ദ്വിജോത്മജായേ യുവയോർദ്ദിദൃക്ഷണാമയോപനീതാഭു വിധർമ്മഗുപ്തയേ കലാവതീർണാവവനേർഭരാസുരാൻ ഹത്വേഹ ഭൂയസ്തുരേതമന്തിമേ പൂർണ്ണ കോമാമവീവാം നരനാരായണാമൃഷി ധർമ്മമാചരതാം സ്ഥിത്യേഷഭോ ലോകസംഗ്രഹം ഇത്യാദിഷ്ണോ ഭഗവദാദൌ കൃഷ്ണോ പരമേഷ്ടിനാം ഓമിത്യാനം വിഭൂമാനം ആദായ ദ്വിജധാരകാൻ ന്യവർത്തതാം സുഗന്ധാമാസം പ്രഹൃഷ്ടോ യഥാഗതം വിപ്രായ ദുപുത്രൻ യഥാരൂപം യഥാവയ നിശാമ്യ വൈഷ്ണവന്ധാമ പാർത്ഥ പരമവിസ്മിത യൽക്കിഞ്ചിൽ പൗരുഷം പുംസാമേനെ കൃഷ്ണാനുകമ്പിതം ദൃശാന്യനേകാനി വീര്യാണി ഹ പ്രദർശയൻ ഭുഭുജേ വിഷയാൻ ഗ്രാമ്യാനി ജയചാദ്യൂർജിതേർമലേ മഖേ പ്രഭവർഷാഖിലാൻ കാമനം പ്രജാസുബ്രാഹ്മണാദിഷു യഥാകാലം യഥൈവേന്ദ്രോ ഭഗവാൻ ശ്രേഷ്ഠമാസ്ഥിത ഹത്വാ നൃപാനധർമ്മിഷ്ഠാൻ ഘാതയിത്വാ അർജുനാദിഭി അഞ്ജസാ വർത്തയാമാസാധർമ്മം ധർമ്മസുതാദിഭി ഇത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ സംവിധായം ദശമസ്കന്ധേ ഉത്തരാർദ്ധേ ദ്വിജകുമാരനയനം നാമ ഏകോനവതി നമോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം Some of the most amazing things what Krishna has done is spoken in these chapters. Three different incidents in two chapters is spoken there. All the three incidents is only to point out to us that you should serve Krishna. You should serve Krishna. So that's why I mentioned you can see not also that this is there is nobody, Shukha Brahmashi is saying, who is so perfect in everything like Krishna. Like Krishna. And also, Krishna is very compassionate to the devotee. But at the same time, serving Krishna is not easy. Although very compassionate, although so perfect in everything, Krishna, it is difficult to serve Krishna. And again, in these three pastimes, you must serve Krishna and Krishna alone. That point is spoken very strongly in these three incidents. Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, that normally those who serve Vishnu, they seem to be very poor. They appear as though they are very poor in this world. Most of them are, Vishnu's devotees are very poor people in this world. On the other hand, all Lord Shiva's devotees are very wealthy. Why is it like this? Most of them are very wealthy. So, it should be the opposite way, isn't it? That's the question. Because Mahavishnu is the one who is maintaining everything. And generally, the devotees, Mahavishnu's devotees should be the wealthier ones. And Mahavishnu is the husband of Mahalakshmi. So, if you are serving a very rich person, who is the husband of Goddess Lakshmi, and you are serving him, so naturally you will expect him to be wealthy as well. But that's not what we find, say here. Just like if you go after learned people, you will acquire that knowledge by their association. Similarly, if you associate with very rich people, you should acquire wealth in the same way. You should have money with you. So, if you look at it that point of view, Mahavishnu's devotee should be very wealthy. But normally what you find among the devotees of Vishnu, who is the most important devotee? Sudama, the most poor person, isn't it? And if you look at Lord Shiva's devotee, who is the most prominent devotee? Kubera, the treasure of the demigods, isn't it? So Parikshit is saying to Shuka Brahmarshi, this is not clear to me, why is it like this? Mahalakshmi's husband, Mahavishnu, and look at the devotee, Sudama, totally impoverished, no money, nothing. And Lord Shiva's devotee, Shiva is very poor, always lives in the cemetery and places like that, dances around, so renounced he is, but his devotee Kubera is extremely wealthy. Why this conflict or contradiction like this? He's saying, is Mahavishnu very miser that he doesn't give to anything to anybody? Does he not give anything to anybody who serves him? Shuka Brahmarshi says there to King Parikshit that all three of them, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, all of them were very compassionate and kind to everybody. But there's a little difference with Vishnu. What is that? If Vishnu blesses somebody, Vishnu makes sure that that person doesn't get go in the wrong way, does not degrade anymore after that. So, when Mahavishnu blesses someone, it will only will improve his spiritual position. He'll bless him in such a way that he will get better after being blessed. Only if Mahavishnu is very sure that the person is not going to get deteriorate in his conditions, only then Krishna will offer him, Mahavishnu will offer him any wealth or any material opulences. But Lord Shiva doesn't have the time to think all these things. Once he started serving, immediately the results will start coming from him directly. Before even you start the service, the mercy will start coming from Shiva. So, and because of that, sometimes Shiva himself gets into trouble because of all these things. Till now, we have never heard a story that Krishna got into trouble because of his devotee. Not once. But Shiva's case is little different. He got into problems. There are many instances where he had little difficulty with his own devotees. You've seen before with Banasura. And now he's another personality called Vrigasura. The same thing is going to happen. So, Shri Brahmashi says to Parikshit that Shiva has got all these problems, that his devotees put him into trouble very often. What is that? Because he blesses devotees without looking too much into their history.
not analyzing them properly, but because they served Shiva, Shiva offers the benefits and then the problem comes. Just like what happened to Bana and now what happened to, even it has happened to Ravana also, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ravana also did exactly the same thing. So Shukra Brahmarshi says here that there was an asura by name Vrigasura, and he wanted to perform penances and austerities and wanted to please one of the three divinities, Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva, and he hasn't thought about anything. He wanted to perform penances and he wanted them to appear in front of him. So he wanted to experiment with three of them. Who is the best? Who will appear first? He wanted to know that first. And he will ask anybody and everybody, out of these three, whom should I perform, serve intensely, so that who can appear the first out of the three? So when Vrigasura asks this question to Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi says to Vrigasura, the way I have understood is like this. He said, Shiva has got this name Kshipra Prasadi. Very quickly he gets pleased with your little service. Then he is so compassionate to the devotee that he has even agreed to guard the palace of Banasura. He went and did that, isn't it? So I have not seen that kind of compassion in Mahavishnu. Narada Maharshi said this to who? To Vrigasura. So that is my understanding. Narada Maharshi says, now you can do whatever you feel the right thing. So he went, Vrigasura went. He went to Banaras and then he went to Kedarnath, Kedar Ghat, they are saying. Then he created a huge fire burning, sacrificial fire burning. And he brought the spoon for pouring the ghee into it. And then he brought a very good knife as well, a first-class knife, very easy to cut with that, very sharp knife he brought with him. So there is a spoon for pouring the ghee. Next to that he kept this knife as well, next to each other. And then he started his intense worship. He didn't take Bhagavatam or the holy name or anything. What he did was, he went and bathed in the Ganga River, came and sat there. And the fire is burning almost the height of a person, man's height, it is burning. He sat next to that and started cutting pieces of flesh from his own body and offering into the fire. And offering, chanting the holy names of Shiva, Shiva's holy name. And he will put the flesh into the fire and pour the blood into a pot from his own body. So imagine that strength of that person inside. We are people, if there is a small crack, immediately we run to pharmacist for the ibuprofen or paracetamol. Look at Vrigasura. He's cutting pieces of flesh from his own body and putting it into the... To that extent, he was determined inside that nobody else has pleased Shiva like this, the way he has done. So, he started this and only the pieces of flesh he will offer into the fire. This went on. And afterwards, most of the flesh is over, gone. Then he started pouring his blood into it, into that. So, 7 days in this way, he cut his body and offered into the fire. On the seventh day, Nirvedal, says Shubramashi, there was not a piece left, flesh left on the body. Altogether, a skeleton frame there. All the flesh has gone into the fire. Almost close to death, there's nothing left there. Vrigasura thought like this, that I was instructed that Shiva gets pleased easily. There's no sign of him getting pleased. So there's no point in sitting like this and half-dead condition like this. I may as well, people will laugh at me for what I have done. Therefore, either, he says, Shiva should come right in front of me now and give me what I want. Otherwise, I'll give this body to him. He can have my body. That's the way he started thinking. And as the last resort, he decided to cut his throat and put the head into the
into the fire. So if you have cut your head, how will you make the offering? How will you make the offering then? Because you are finished then, isn't it? So what he did, if I tell somebody else to cut my head and put it in the fire, that also, they may not happen. Nobody will do that for him. So Vrikasura thought, found out a better system. What he did was, he held his head into the fire like this, and he decided to cut it from the top, so that if it falls, it will fall into the fire. This was the plan. Look at Vrikasura's frame of mind, right? So, and then it will be the same result. You made the offering then, isn't it? So, he put his head into the fire, took the sword, and started cutting the neck, for the head to fall into the fire. By now, Lord Shiva couldn't bear this anymore. He appeared there on the scene. And not alone, along with Sri Parvati, together came. And then says to Vrikasura, you don't have to do all these things to please me. What, even if you brought some water from Ganga River and poured onto the Shivalingam, it would have pleased me. Why did you do all these things? And so Vrikasura's mood was that I've done all these things. What have you done for me? I've done to please you everything what I can. Even otherwise, Lord Shiva's nature is, even if you bring some willow leaves and Ganga River water and offer it to Shivalingam, Shiva is pleased with that. But such a compassionate personality, Lord Shiva is. So, anyway, many people, they bring water from Ganga River. In Banaras, you can see, bring large pots of water and offering to Lord Shiva's form in Visheshwara temple in Banaras. So, normally, that means if somebody brings and pour water on your head every morning, still you are accepting, you find it difficult, but Lord Shiva has no problem. So, Shiva says to him, I don't need all this kind of offering, this kind of service to me. And so by seeing Lord Shiva, Shiva somehow repaired his body and gave him back to the old body, what he had, fixed it properly. All the pieces of flesh, everything is gone. He got back his proper body back again. And then he says to him, what do you want from me? He said, you can ask anything because you have given, surrendered everything to me in such a way that I am very impressed by your bhakti, for devotion. This man, Vrikasura, hasn't thought before what he wanted to ask. He didn't have any concern. He wanted them to appear. He wanted to talk to them. That's all he wanted to do. So, in his, when he, Shiva and Parvati has appeared together, so he looked at Parvati and he thought, it's no harm if I have Parvati. That's why it says there, Gauri Harana Lalasa. Just look at the word. Gauri Harana Lalasa. That is what is spoken about him. If you look talking about the Gauri Harana Lalasa, you will find that word in the 88th chapter, and the verse is. What is the number?
23.
Ittikta sosuro nunam Gauri Harana Lalasa. Gauri Harana Lalasa. That's what he was. He just wanted Sri Parvati. He thought it's no harm. Ask for that. So, he says to her that Gauri Harana Lalasa. So, initially, when Shiva appeared, Sri Parvati was with him. So, he decided that I will ask for a blessing from Shiva. Using that blessing, I'll kill Shiva straight away and take Sri Parvati with me. Look at that mentality behind that, isn't it? So, this type of people, if they go to Banaras or Vrindavan, what will happen? How does it happen? What does it make a difference? Whether they are in Benares or they are in Vrindavan, what does it make a difference if this is the mind behind it, isn't it? So he's offered his head, and that means body was willing to give up, but the condition of the mind is not very good, isn't it? So that is why he's saying here, this is what he's teaching us, that you may offer your body, but if your subtle body is not right, then no matter what you do with your gross body, it's not going to solve the problem. That subtle body is the problem, isn't it? This subtle body has a sometimes it is sat, sometimes it is asat also. It is in a marginal state, it is, all the time. That's why if you see these five sheath around the soul in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, what they say is that Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. These are the five sheets around the soul. And then we have got in the Vedantam, this is where the comparison is interesting. Vedantam and Patanjali's Ashtanga Yogam, they are very close in many ways. They are very close. Vedantam says, you have got the gross body, the subtle body and the causal body, isn't it? Three bodies we have. Sthula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, Karana Shariram, they are called. And in English they say gross body, subtle body and the causal body. And in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, that is in the Brahma Sutram, that means Vedantam. Brahma Sutram says these three bodies. Sthula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, Karana Shariram. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram says Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. So, this Annamayam, which is in the Yoga Sutram, is corresponding to our Sthula Shariram, which is the gross body. Sthula Shariram, gross body, Annamayam. Pranamayam, Manomayam and Vijnanamayam, all these three things which comes in the Yoga Sutram, you combine them together and that is what we call the Sushma Shariram in Vedantam. In Brahma Sutram, when you call address it as Sushma Shariram in Vedantam, it's the same thing. Which is Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali puts it as Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam. Then the last one, which is Anandamayam, which is addressed as the Anandamaya Kosham, which is mentioned in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, is equivalent to what we call in the Sushupti state as the Karana Shariram. And if you look at the function, they are exactly the same. In Karana Shariram, the bliss you are experiencing is the same Anandamayam what you are referring to Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. And all the other activities of the three subtle body, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, those activities are exactly the same of the Sushma Shariram. And activities of the body, which is the Annamayam, is the same as our gross body, Jagrat state, in the vacant state. So, here, I think we'll stop today. We'll continue next Saturday. I'll
have Shubhada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotra Shada Shri Shrivan Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Nitilya Pravishta Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotra Shada Shri Shrivan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Anandavadi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Samacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Savo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Govindanda Shyama Gunda Radha Gunda Giri Govardhani Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Madhurapuri Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Dwaraka Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mai Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki All Premanandi All Glories to Assembled Devotees All Glories to Assembled Devotees All Glories to Assembled Devotees all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga All Glories to Srila Prabhupada Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine
Nidhiyama Prabhu Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai